Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. A couple champions were crowned over the weekend. We'll start on the ice where the Carolina Hurricanes won Lord Stanley's Cup after beating the Vegas Golden Knights 3-0 in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Jordan Staal won the Conn Smythe at age 37, being the oldest player to do so. On the hardwood Saturday night, the New York Knicks defeated the San Antonio Spurs 94-90 in Game 5 of the NBA Finals to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Jalen Brunson won Finals MVP with a 45-point Game 5 performance. And the Cincinnati Reds lost 5-3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks yesterday. The Redlegs have now lost 8 of their last 10 games. They'll be back on the diamond tonight versus the New York Mets. Coverage starts at 6:40 over on the Fan 2. This update was sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union. Visit BMIFCU.org/consolidate to learn more.
T-Bone and Tyvis, can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the 5 best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Good morning to you. Happy Monday. I'm T-Bone. He is still not Tyvis. He is still Joshua Perry. Good morning. Go to hell, Joshua.
Good morning. How we doing?
How was your weekend?
It was a weekend. We're fighting through weekends. They're not my favorite.
Because you got the kiddos.
Yeah, buddy.
Got the youngsters.
Oh, yeah, man.
That makes it busy.
So, hell of a way to start off the show. Charlotte yesterday, the 9-month-old, she pooped like 6 times.
Oh,
and
yep. What are you feeding that kid?
I mean, she's a little tank. She eats anything.
Like, I mean,
that we're feeding her good bacon.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's the way to get started. Yes, I like that.
A great eater.
But, that's good.
Yeah, it was, she had one, and I don't even know how it happened, but we're going to change her, and like, it was a, you know, blowout situation, so we got to take the onesie off. And she's got it on her heel, and there's a little bit on her arm, but there was none up her back. And so I'm like, what is the physics of what happened here?
How did this happen?
It was one of those.
The kids have, I mean, a way of making that situation just something where, you know, as a parent, you start to wonder. I've always wondered, how did they make so much?
Yes.
Like, you'd open up a diaper and be like, did a 47-year-old man come in here and do this? Like, what happened? I don't understand. Like, this is not possible for you. You're a tiny baby. How did this work out? But yeah, that's the part of the weekends that I'll promise you, as someone who's now got, my youngest is 6, like, it does get better. The weekends are still a fight for us because now the youngest is still at an age where it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? And it's like, we're going to be bored this weekend because we run y'all everywhere all week.
Boredom is good for young people, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And we're trying to find more of it, but yeah, we still have days where it's like, all right, we haven't done anything. Let's go do something. Let's make something happen. But it's just like, go to a park, you know, like, still, I'm glad that my youngest is at an age where it's like, going to the park is all that she's like, great. I'll run around for hours just playing on all the stuff.
That's good.
That's
good. My recommendation for parents just starting out would be to let them be bored.
Yes.
Because I thought, here was my thought process. I was like, from ages birth to when she goes to kindergarten, I'm going to do all this stuff with her because our schedule kind of permits it. Like, we get out of here pretty early, that I'm like, okay, it's gonna be like the middle of the day, I'll have my kid for the whole rest of the day, and we're gonna do stuff.
Sure.
So until she turned 5, we did a bunch of stuff, and I was like, she's gonna go to school's gonna stimulate her, she's gonna come home, she's gonna be like, all right, I got all my fun and everything I need to do out of the way at school. That's not the way it worked out at all.
No.
As soon as she got home from school, she was like, hey, remember all that fun stuff we did before I started going to school? Now I just want to do that after school.
Let's jam it in between the hours of like 4 and 8 p.m.
Yes.
And you're like, okay. I wasn't accounting for that.
Yes. And then obviously, like, this time of year during the summer, it's like, okay, I'm used to doing all this stuff with dad. Like, let's do all this stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe just be bored for a day.
Yeah, that's right.
Just one day.
Just one day.
It sparks creativity. It builds resilience. Boredom is a good thing.
It is. It's exactly right. How are you going to be creative if you don't sit around? I mean, if you've never done the thing like where you take, I don't know if anybody else did this, I would put my hands over my ears and like how it changes the sound.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, when you covered your ears.
Oh, I would sing into the fan.
Just,
I was going to, that was
singing into the fan. We're doing the like, it's just all just kinds stuff. Of little things to make your brain go, oh, that's a weird new thing. Let me try that for a little bit.
No, the other day when she was bored, I was like, go talk into the fan. Yeah. And she was like, what? And I was like, just go do it.
Man, these kids don't know nothing about that.
That bought me about 15 minutes of peace.
It did make me feel good. Was it Tommy Boy where he does that, where he's like, Luke, I am your father. Chris Farley's talking to the fan. It's like, yeah, that's right. I've been there. I always forget if it's Black Sheep or Tommy Boy. I always get the two confused. That's on me.
Anyway, haven't seen either one.
Okay. That's a whole nother separate project for us, is to work on that. Only a week left to get you, up to date on some of the like old movies that I watched as a kid, apparently, or as like a teenager. I don't know. I'm trying to think when those came out, but either way, you got next week. You're back to like not being in here every day. Are you looking forward to eventually sleeping back in?
Doing like 3 days next week. So, but I will be not in the morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, but on other shows. So I'll be able to sleep and then I'll be back here.
Yes, that's true. You will be on the fan. That's very true. I'm sure all the other shows are pissed off at times, by the way, because they're like, because you have been like a primary fill it on almost every other show. I know Common Man and Timmy, you've done.
Yeah.
You've done both the midday shows.
Yep.
And I also know that, like, now when we have you as first priority to be here when Tyvus is gone, all the other shows are like, oh, so we have to find another fill-in.
I can pull two a days.
There's plenty of other good fill-ins.
Yeah.
The point is, a lot of them want Joshua Perry, because Joshua Perry is...
I don't know why they would want that.
He's a brand. He's great.
We don't need someone saying that Kurt Cignetti is the greatest coach of all time in two different day parts of the show. I think people want to hear
exactly
that.
Exactly right. So over the weekend, we got a whole bunch of things settled in all the sports that were left. If you were hoping to have game sevens for all of your pro sports, unfortunately, that's not going to happen. Carolina Hurricanes, they got the Stanley Cup final. They get to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup as they get the job done in Vegas. They win game 6, 3-0, shutout fashion. Apparently John Tortorella is going to have to find a UPS store or somewhere in Raleigh to send him back his gear.
I don't know if he's that worried about it.
He should have to fly back. They should make him fly back and get his stuff.
He should go on defunct Spirit.
There's a hotel room that's just like, why do I have John Tortorella's clothes? Like someone just checks into their, like, whatever. I'm trying to think of good. What hotel would they stay in? At a Wyndham? I don't know. But he would check in and his stuff just still in there. Like, sorry, coach said he had to leave it. The Hurricanes, I mean, They held Vegas to 5 total goals in games 4 and 5 and then shut them out in game 6. Stifling defense. So, well-earned. Jordan Staal received the Conn Smythe Trophy as the playoff MVP. So, a cool thing to see for that guy, even if you're not a huge fan of his from going back to his days in Pittsburgh or whatever. But Jordan Staal has been like a guy who has been around the league. How long has he been in the league? Like 20 years, I feel like. I think he won in Pittsburgh back in 2011.
Oh, wow.
When they won a Stanley Cup.
Probably he's 37.
Yeah, so right. Like I was saying, he's been playing 15 close.
15 years.
Well, no, I think he broke in when he was like 18 or 19. I mean, he was young. Him and his brother, too. Like, they're both just talented guys. But yeah, Jordan Staal, like a very long, to have a career like that long and then to get playoff MVP at 37.
Wild.
Split the difference, 18 seasons.
Okay, there 18. Go. There you go. He's been playing forever. So let him live. That was a nice thing. I bring up Carolina winning for one reason, Joshua, and I'm curious what you think of this. I have gotten so sick of, and it's died down over the last few years, but just, I don't think Jackets fans are going to be there anymore, but for many years, there were some contingent of like happy-go-lucky Jackets fans who would, every time the team would miss out on a high-level free agent or trying to get someone to come here, and then they, of course, like, would pick somewhere like Vegas, right? Like, you just had it happen with Mitch Marner, right? Last year, like, he wanted to come, or Jackets fans. Not that, I don't know he was ever going to come here, right? Probably not. But he was, that was a thought, was like, man, it'd be nice to have him come here. Tyvus was huge on, let's get Mitch Marner here, right? And according to the Blue Jackets brass, like, they tried, but he wanted to go to Vegas. And a lot of people's response is, well, who can blame him? You know, who can blame him going to Vegas versus Columbus? Columbus, there's been this built-in excuse for a while. I don't think it exists much anymore, even with the people over there. But the idea that, like, you can't get high-level talent to come and play here, fine. Maybe that's true. But if you're going to tell me that the research triangle of Carolina is of North Carolina is somehow more attractive of a place to live than Columbus, Ohio. At the very least, it's a wash, is all I'm saying.
Very
it's,
similar.
I don't know, man. New York. It's not L.A. It's not Vegas. It's not beaches warmer, in Miami.
You know, they like people like to be a little bit warmer, is where folks like to go to retire's lakes. There's lakes in Carolina. People love the lakes down there.
Sure. It's all good. We have lakes here, by the way.
These are things that people say.
Yes. And I think most Jackets fans have moved past this stage of fandom because now everyone is pissed. But because of the fact that the Jackets have, you know, told you for years, like, well, just give us time, give us time, give us time. The patience is wearing thin.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll say this, too, like, and this has been, I think, one of the hockey narratives that's gone away. But for a long time, people were like, oh, well, you know, if you're a Southern team, like, best of luck. Like, that's not a big thing down there. And then we watched teams from Florida, Carolina's won it before. Like, that's a thing that's dissolved. Like, I think if you know how to put together a roster and you know how to recruit talent and you know how to coach, like, you're going to be in it. It doesn't matter. Like, all that other stuff doesn't matter.
No, of course not. And I hope that as we move forward, right, this is a big offseason for the Jackets. And I do understand, like, individual players may just flat out say, like, we were talking about Dylan Larkin, right? He plays for the Red Wings. He's their captain. He's sick of losing. And apparently he's told Steve Yzerman, their GM, I'm done. Find a place for me. This is a kid who was born in Detroit, got to be the captain of the Detroit Red Wings, telling them, go F yourselves, trade me. I'm done with this place because you guys aren't dedicated to winning, or I don't like the plan, or whatever he thinks. And, of course, some Jackets fans, I was among them, saying, maybe we could lure him. He apparently, his initial three destinations, I literally think were like, it was something like Vegas, New York, Miami. It was something like that, right?
Where it was just Vegas, Florida, and Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota was there the third. Well, okay. I guess I don't know what the, I don't know what the connection is to Minnesota there.
Me neither.
Other than it's just like, well, that's a traditional hockey market. Yeah. Like there, that is nothing too that gets said about Columbus. Like it's not a traditional hockey market, not like Toronto or Montreal.
But once again, like we've seen,
Is Raleigh.
Yes, we've seen non-traditional markets do it. That's yes. Like there's not really an excuse at that point.
No. So that's what I'm just saying. With this offseason, everyone over there at Nationwide Arena knows how big it is this offseason to make moves. You have Zach Arensky openly talking about how he misses winning. And I don't think he's going anywhere this offseason, but you have another year where suddenly you stumble out of the gates and you got to fire a head coach. And then it's, you know, January. We're talking about, well, if they could just put a run together, maybe they could sneak back into playoff position. That dude will be asking for a trade in February. Like I don't know him. I'm not saying he will for sure, but who could blame him? If you played your entire career here, you're one of the best players in the NHL and your organization cannot lure guys. This is a humongous offseason, but make no excuses for this Jackets front office. You can get guys to come play somewhere where they think they can win. They'll come to Carolina because they think they can win.
Yes.
Hopefully that can be the way that people look at this place as it starts to go. We have another champion to talk about in the NBA. We'll do that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Monday. No crashes right now, but a closure out in Madison County off of State Route 38. Both directions shut down between State Route 29 and US 40 because of some telephone poles that are down. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A mix of clouds and clear skies as we kick off the work week with temperatures in the 50s to start and then turning into mid to low 70s this afternoon with plenty of sun. Mostly clear again tonight with lows down into the 50s. And then for Tuesday, expect skies to be mostly sunny yet again. A little bit more of a breeze and highs in the mid to upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Just a reminder, Tyvus thinks all pizza tastes the same. Also a reminder, Tyvus was born without taste buds. You're listening to Bone and Tyvus.
All right, we have so much to get to today. There was World Cup stuff going on all weekend. My algorithm continues to be full of people from other countries experiencing America and then having a great time. And I can't get enough of the, like, just all the cultural smashing together. I love that. I think that I was trying to figure out why we all gravitate to, and I mean, everybody's different, right? But why we all gravitate to like the German guy who's going to Waffle House.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw J.J. Watt put him up in a hotel.
Oh, really?
And the hotel was like super nice. And apparently, because I want to say Germany played yesterday and they smoked Curacao like 7-1, if memory serves. I think that game was in Houston, which would make sense that J.J. Watt was involved because he is, you know, Houston, you know, former player there, obviously.
Right.
Has some pool. But the German dude who went to Waffle House, he apparently was staying in Houston and the hotel took him to the like luxury suite, like their primo suite that they have at the hotel. It's $150,000 a night to stay there.
Okay.
It has its own private balcony with a pool on it overlooking the city. It has its own basketball court that you can access if you have that suite. And it was like, he didn't get to stay in it, but they like took him for a tour of it. And then he had a really nice room for his.
How often do you think a suite like that gets booked?
I don't. I've often wondered sometimes I drive around this city and I see houses that like one of them would be more than I could ever fathom owning. And then I'll see there are 24 of them on this street.
Yeah.
And it's one of many streets in this neighborhood where and I just think, what do all these people do? Where's all this money happening?
Ask, isn't
right.
It?
Yeah. Cause like, I know what I do. I know what other people do. And I know like some of what the money is. And I'm like, that's great. I'm not hurting for money, but like, I'm not living there.
Yeah.
And I'm always wondering what it is that you, is that just all neurosurgeons? I don't know the answer, but when I see a hotel suite like that, again, who's using that?
Yeah.
I presume it's I don't even know. Like, if you're a rock star, you might have a lot of money. If you're someone who,
Taylor Swift, right?
Taylor Swift would use it.
Got the kind of money where you can forget about that.
She's but also got the kind of money that has like, I'll just private jet my way right out of here as soon as I'm done.
She's got the kind of money where they're like, we'll comp your stay.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Where you don't even pay it.
Yes.
Taylor Swift stayed at our hotel. Isn't that, you know what? Probably that whole thing pays for itself if like three people use it for a week.
That's insane.
You know what I mean? They probably are like, no one's going to use this 90% of the time. We'll comp it to a few famous people. They'll post about it. In return, we'll get three or four idiots to pay $150,000 a night. And that'll be how we fund having this little
thing. What happened to our inheritance?
Yeah.
I went to a hotel.
God. It's funny that you mentioned being rich enough to just get stuff comped for you. Like, what a contrast.
I know.
It's like Ben Stiller was talking about how they asked him how much money he spends on Knicks season tickets, and he said none. The Knicks give it to us.
Yeah. Right.
And then
did you hear that whole comment though? Cause then he tried to joke, well, I don't have enough money to pay for season tickets.
Oh, stop. Yeah, exactly right. That's ridiculous.
And then like Timothy Chalamet, he got like a free Chipotle for life, and people are like, I need that. He doesn't need that.
So did you see what he was wearing? It was him and I had a kid. Was it Kylie that he's
one of the Kardashian Jenner kids.
They had the jeans, and he was wearing the Canadian tuxedo, but it's the jeans that have the little crosses on them. You may have seen Jeremiah Smith wearing those.
What are those?
Chrome Hearts is the name of the brand.
Okay.
The jeans are like $12,000.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
For pants?
Wow.
Yep. And he had the jeans and the jean jacket.
I saw people saying like, wow, the jacket. So I knew there was something to it because it seemed like people who knew fashion were commenting on it saying, you don't see the jacket every day. Mm-hmm. You see the jeans from some famous people, but not the jacket. That's apparently extra special pool.
Yeah. Expensive.
So, yeah. Again, when you're rich, it does not make sense, but you're right. If Elon Musk now being the world's first trillionaire, let that all set in. But if he showed up at a random McDonald's, I bet they're not charging him. You know what I mean? If he was like, hello, yes, I'd like to try your quarter pounder. I'm not sure how you say it. I've never eaten common people food. Like, he walks in and they're like, oh my God, Elon Musk is here. SpaceX, Tesla, here you go, my guy. Like, there's just someone there who will be like, I put it on my tab. I want to pay for it. Like, there's a world where once you become so famous, you never spend your own money.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense.
It's crazy.
Now, on the other hand, do that? Supposedly, Spike Lee, they're talking about how he's been a fan since Patrick Ewing. Well, he's been a fan for a while. He's been going to games since Patrick Ewing's rookie year.
Yep. Yeah.
He said he spent like $10 million on being a Knicks fan.
No, I don't doubt that, because now I bet you now he doesn't have to if he doesn't want to.
Right.
He may just say, on principle, I don't want anybody to give me my tickets because I don't want anybody to tell me I want to live and sit where I want to sit, go when I want to go. I don't want to be expected to be here. I could understand that. But you're right. If he tomorrow was like, I don't want to pay for this, the Knicks would be like, done. You're in. You can sit here. We love having you here, Spike. Of course. Now, the Knicks are your champions, as you probably have figured out. They get the championship done in a series where every game that the Spurs lost, they led, I believe, by double digits in the fourth quarter.
At least 12 in every game they led at some point by at least 12. And then I saw something else that said that they were either tied or had a lead with 2 minutes to go in each of these games.
I also saw a stat saying that they were ahead like 73% of the series, yet they lost in five games.
Well, and what is the defining thing that you will take away from this Knicks team? I mean, everybody can share theirs. For me, it will be the thing that we talked about before this series and the thing we talked about before the Cavs series, which is, do you have a killer on your roster when it comes to the fourth quarter? There are guys who are really, really talented. Victor Wembanyama is insanely talented. He's obviously an athletic freak, but he is just incredibly talented. Like, being 7'5" or whatever he is a part of it. But if you can't hit threes from 30 feet, if you're not able to read the game like he does, you're not going to be the unanimous defensive player of the year just purely on height. We've seen tall guys who were not as good as he already is as a young player.
Right.
What he does not have yet, and I think he will get eventually, is that ability in the fourth quarter to go, this is my spot, that is my spot, and that is my spot. If this is closed off, I'm going here. If they close that off, I'll go back over here. But I will be 90% from these three spots on the floor, and you will not stop me. That is what it takes to be what I'm calling a killer in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson's that dude. Like, maybe. He knows how to get his shot. He knows how to get it done.
Because Wemby was missing some of those free throws at the end of the game.
That's a spot that everyone should be a killer from, is make your free throws.
But the Jalen Brunson, the conversation around him is so unique, because there was that time Becky Hammon was up there like, he's too little. He can't be your guy. There were a lot of people that were like, you can't win a championship if he's your number one guy. And now it's like, is he the greatest Knicks player of all time? Right? Like, it just, the narrative completely flipped on him. But to your point, and just watching, like, he looked exhausted at points. Like, he gave everything that he had, and there was no way that he was going to leave without a ring. He was going to get that ring. He made his mind up, and he went out and did it.
Yeah. What did he have? Hit 45 in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, 45 in a closeout game with the championship on the line. Do I need to say anything else about the greatness of this guy?
Nope.
I kind of want to hate on this championship, if we're being honest.
Why?
Let's go. Let's go.
I mean, I'm interested to hear it. Tomorrow's Hot Take Tuesday, by the way, Dylan. So you can always. You can just let it percolate for 24 hours. But go ahead. Fine. Share your hot take.
Think real weak East. Jason Tatum didn't play in that part of that series. I think the Celtics are better than the Knicks. I think the Thunder are better than the Spurs. I think the Thunder aren't out. The Spurs aren't in the finals either.
Okay.
This was a finals matchup of circumstances. And the Knicks are probably the worst NBA champion of my lifetime.
What are you talking? What are you talking?
Yes.
You are completely outside of your mind on that, my friend.
That is real haterism.
It's either them or like the 03 or 04 Pistons, whatever year they won it. Those are the two worst NBA finals champions of my lifetime.
So hell of a take.
And I'm 33 years old.
Okay. I know that you are big on Thunder's having significant injury.
Yeah.
Happened. That probably keeps the Spurs out of, maybe. Yes.
No, keeps the Spurs for sure out, keeps them out of the finals.
Okay.
Yes.
If that happens, but again.
And then if the Knicks find a way to navigate this weak ass East that's weaker than any East that LeBron ever played in.
Mm.
They're getting boat raced by the Thunder.
Okay. Wow. Maybe. I mean, look at this. I'm going to put it this way to you. There are so many ifs, whats, could have beens, habit. Like, the Bengals could have three Super Bowls by now if Joe Burrow didn't constantly explode. But he does. Like, that's a reality. We don't get to just hold up like, hold on now. That guy, they didn't really win. No, they won. They, by the way, they didn't just barely beat the Cavs. They swept them, right? Like, Cavs had everybody healthy, and they got annihilated by the Knicks team.
I don't
think they swept out the team
Joe
before, too.
Can coach, so I'm not convinced that the Celtics would have beat him. I think Joe Mazzulla is a little bit of a fraud. There's a fraud alert on him.
I think that's a very fair fact. And I do think, I'm surprised you're hating on this Knicks team because they are everything I would think we want in sports. I'll explain why in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. Still no crashes on our Central Ohio roadways, but watch for a closure out on the west side. This is in Madison County. State Route 38 is shut down between State Route 29 and US 40. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steigerwald with your
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Sometimes when Tyvus wears khaki pants, I can see the outline of his genitals. There's no joke there. It's just an observation.
God, the more I resist, the more intriguing they become. I can't look away.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Oh, man, I'm looking at this Chrome Hearts stuff that Chalamet was wearing to these NBA games. Like, you've Joshua Perry telling me about fashion. I don't know anything about it. This, I'm on their website. They have socks. You buy Chrome Hearts socks, a pair of them apparently, $255 for socks. The jeans cost, what did you say that Chalamet was wearing?
So I don't know how much his specific ones were. Okay. All right, so I'm on some resale sites right now. There's a pair of Chrome Hearts for $130,000.
Holy moly.
There's another pair for $204,000.
You're talking about...
There's a green pair for
$22,000. I just want to...
They're wearing a condo.
You could just buy a place to live.
Yeah. I was going to be like, maybe one day I'll meet Timothée Chalamet and be like, hey, instead of buying jeans this weekend, you think you could buy me a house? Yeah. Are you feeling generous?
Well, and here's... Now, these are resale. So presumably they're collectible and they're...
But what is collectible about a pair of pants?
What is collectible about a little piece of cardboard that says one of one? And it's like, okay, but you're going to make 50 other one of ones this year of one... Anyway, but we just live in collectors, you know, society. Like, people love to collect and hoard stuff, and that's fine. But here's the thought I have on Chalamet, where in the... Let's say those were more like $12,000, sure. $10,000 pants, all right? Reasonably priced jeans. You can't just buy yourself, if you're Timothée Chalamet, a $12,000 pair of jeans or a jean jacket, and then, you know, you're getting the outfit coordinated with your girlfriend and all that, which, is it Kylie Jenner? Is that who that was?
Yes.
I don't know. Okay. So the two of them coordinating the outfit, let's say they spent $30,000 on that whole stuff. Guess what? You can never wear again, because he was so widely photographed at that Knicks game wearing that outfit.
Just burn it.
Can't wear it again.
Just light it on fire. Can't in the wear middle it again. Of the table.
Yep.
So he's putting it on whatever site was
yeah, probably.
Except here's the problem. When you're as rich as him and you're as famous as him, and that fit was just out there for everyone to see, if you wear it again, everyone's going to be like, oh, wow, I guess he's hurting for money. He's wearing his clothes over. Which is, like, we all do. Wear our clothes. I've worn this sweater.
For money.
I've worn this sweatshirt, like, 50 times since I bought it. Yeah. Like, that's normal.
Yes.
That's what we all do.
Yeah. I probably wore these shorts on Friday.
Sure. Yeah. You did, actually.
Did laundry and then threw them back on.
I was telling T-Bone in the break, I've got jeans that I put patches in. Like, I'll blow out the thigh. And I'll put patches in the jeans because I'm not buying a new pair.
Yeah.
The jeans are fine except for the one place I have to put patches. $12,000 for a pair of pants is insane.
Well, and then you cannot wear them again. Otherwise, you're accused of being cheap. If you put them on Depop,
yes.
Guess what else is going to be out there? Like, Timothée Chalamet's selling his pants. Starting for, like, so once you're in the game, you have to have enough money not to buy the one pair. Mm. You got to be able to buy 100 of
sure.
that type, that level of clothing, because the next time you go out, everyone's going to say, well, what's he wearing this time?
Yep.
I want no part of that world. None whatsoever. However, the Knicks, obviously, they win their title. And Dylan, you were kind of hating on them a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying you don't think they're a very solid team. They're not a strong team. They're the weakest champion, did you say?
Yeah, worst champion of my lifetime.
That's a stretch. That's a big stretch.
Maybe the worst one. Like, I mean, NBA champion.
I mean, I'd have to go back and look at all the different NBA teams that are assembled. But
they,
like,
beat those Bulls teams from the 90s. Those guys weren't playing real ball back then.
That's different. Like, yeah, I agree with you.
They had lumbering bad athletes on the court back then.
I want to remind everyone, tomorrow is Hot Take Tuesday.
I'm not going to be here.
Today, that's right. You are. You're going to be out. But I'm just saying, I would think, Dylan, you would like this team because, I mean, how often do we get to see it where three guys who played together in college now go on and play on the same NBA team and they win a title in college together and they win a title in the NBA together, that's a pretty special thing, is it not?
I am not the fan of parody that I think you think all sports fans should be. I think the NBA was, look of when the NBA is the most popular, when Magic and Larry are playing in the finals every year, when Jordan is three-peating and then Hakeem's repeating and then Jordan's three-peating again, when Shaq and Kobe are three-peating, when LeBron's winning the East every year, when the Golden State Warriors are dominant. Those are all the high points of basketball in recent memory. It's not when there's parody. Like, listen, people act like they hate dynasties. You don't. When there's dynasties going on in sports, the New England Patriots, that's when the NFL is the most popular. Like, people, the Kansas City Chiefs, people love watching them. People act like they hate dynasties. You don't. You love to watch them.
No, so people do hate dynasties, but they love to watch them. I think that thing is true. I think dynasties are great for sports because they create a villain.
That's my point.
You love it, you hate it, but it gets your attention. So I agree with you there. But I do think there's a little renaissance happening right now.
I
think people, they have their attention on this new version of the NBA with some newer stars that are, you know, really starting to hit their prime. And then you get these teams like the Knicks where it's like, you know, to your point, you got these guys that all played together in college and Jalen Brunson, and his dad, or, you know, his dad's coaching him. He's on staff.
Yeah,
and like
people, wasn't his dad on the team that lost in the finals to the Spurs in 99?
So.
I think that's true. Yeah, like, and he's on the staff now.
Yeah, there. Mike Brown, his whole career and how he got to a championship.
Right.
And I do think that there are some of these storylines now that are more intriguing than just when you had the dynasties. But to your point, I think people need something that gets their attention. The dynasties were doing it. I think right now there are other things that are grabbing people's attention.
Like, people needed to hate the Thunder like they were a dynasty. They won one championship, and they found a reason to hate them because people love to hate.
I don't think it's that. I agree with you that people love to hate. I do agree with that. However, I don't think everybody wants dynasties the way that narrative's been out there for a while now. Like, and I don't think it's actually true, because I think you're going to find that this NBA Finals did record numbers. That, like, the numbers we're seeing for this Finals, at least so far, I don't know what, you know, Game 5 did.
And Clay Travis will have the numbers here this afternoon.
I'm sure he will. But, like, Game 4, I want to say, was the highest rated Game 4 or whatever it was since 98, when some guy named Michael Jordan was still in the league. Like, that's the numbers this is doing. And what you're talking about, Dylan, is we've lived in, right after that was Lakers dynasty and then Spurs dynasty. And then you had a few middling, like Heat and Mavs win one. And then we got into more dynasty after that. And the last 8 years, the NBA, I think the numbers have started to creep back up, because every single year you don't know who's going to win. They've literally had a different champion each of the last 8 years, which I think is phenomenal for the sport. To your point, though, people want something they can identify with. I don't think you can have it be this. I don't think you can have no dynasty and no big city team, no star power team.
That was going to be my point.
If the Knicks are in this, then sure, then it's fine.
Yeah.
But if the Thunder are a dynasty and they're like, oh man, the only reason people are watching that is to hate on them.
Mm-hmm.
That will draw the ratings, but that's not why people love the NBA, is to hate. Like, people watch the NBA or watch sports in general because they somewhat enjoy the sport. They like the competition. Yeah, I like to have a villain to root against. I like to know the stakes and the odds. I like to not just flip on a game and have nothing on it. But I think a lot of people watch this one because they're like, wow, the Knicks. They're either fans of that team and want to see them win, or they're like, ugh, no, New York's can't win. I don't want the Knicks to win. I want to watch Wemby do something crazy. I want to see the Spurs team. That would be a cool story. But people watch this either they have to have something to latch onto. I don't think it has to be a dynasty, is my point.
No, there are people in the YouTube chat throwing the ratings argument at me. Take the tri-state area out of the ratings and let me know what they look like. If the Knicks were the same players on the Charlotte Hornets and they make the chip, this might be the worst rated finals ever. The biggest market in the world was in the finals.
Okay.
And they were going to watch the game.
All right.
I like that
you live in a world where it's like, well, one, if all the teams that lost to the Knicks hadn't, then they wouldn't have won. And if the Knicks weren't located in New York, then the ratings wouldn't be any good. And it's like, oh, and by the
way,
if up was down and left was right, then we'd have different maps.
This is interesting.
All of that sounds right, Dylan, because none of that's reality. Yep. The point is, we live in a spot where the Knicks did win. They are in New York, and it's one of the biggest finals numbers they're going to have in the last 30 years.
This was elite unraveling of an argument. I've never seen somebody dismantle an argument in real time. I mean, so well. That was phenomenal.
If any of the teams would have beat the Knicks, I didn't say that.
Yes,
I
if the Charlotte Hornets had LaMelo Ball here, yes, it wouldn't be as fun, but it isn't. It's this. Same, this is what was fun.
Same team in Charlotte and not nearly as many people are watching the finals.
I don't, but you're, okay, fair enough, but my point is, and I said, what's going on?
I have no idea.
I don't even know where that's coming from. I got it. We got it. All right. Someone left the volume up on my computer up to a million. I just went to go check the YouTube chat to like see what was going on.
Who would do such a thing?
I mean, the last person that was on that computer was me.
This has been quite a 5 minutes for you, Dylan. I'm going to say.
Can I make a comment that has nothing to do with anything we're talking about?
Yeah,
you mentioned
fine.
Michael Jordan and the ratings. You know, Michael didn't have a left. I don't know why people were so enamored with his game. This dude have a left. He would drive down the left side of the lane with his right hand and smoke a layup with the right because he didn't have a left.
Oh, dude. Listen.
Like, what?
Joshua.
People have talked themselves into this being the greatest era ever in basketball, and it just doesn't compute to my modern mind.
Here's what I can tell you. As someone who was a teenager during all the Jordan, like the height of the Jordan era, like the 90s were when I was 8 when the 90s started. So I remember the whole era well. I am convinced people like Michael Jordan's game. He was dominant. Let's never deny that.
Sure.
He was dominant in the era he played. To your point, the era he played in was weak sauce defensively compared to what we have now.
They used to tackle each other.
Right.
That's
yeah,
good
that's
defense.
Basketball.
Yeah.
Everyone should admit, though, you would like them if you like Michael Jordan's game, and I do too. I love watching old highlights of him playing. But I also have acknowledged that I went to the Nutcracker and I really enjoyed the ballet because it's beautiful. It's poetic. It's amazing the athleticism that you see at the ballet. Michael Jordan, that's basketball ballet is what you watched. You don't like LeBron as much because LeBron is a freight train and that's different. And he comes through the lane and it's a very different thing than when Michael was doing his thing. Tracy McGrady, also elegant, phenomenal basketball player. A lot of people love his game too.
Ballerina's got a left though.
Now, to Joshua's point, there's that video of Michael Jordan going behind the back to his right and then somehow collecting the ball again with his right hand. And people are like, oh man, how did he do that? It's like, because he didn't want to put the ball in his left hand.
He can't dribble with it.
The one time,
no left hand.
No. The one highlight you will find of Michael Jordan going to his left. It's the one where, remember when he goes up for the dunk with his right hand and AC Green jumps in front of him for the Lakers and then he switches to the left and lays it up?
Yeah.
That highlight it's the greatest highlight in the world.
Dude, I watched Ja Morant do that. Like,
I know.
There are just regular players nowadays that do that. And the Jordan fans are like, oh, this is the play that hung the moon. And it's like, no, it's not.
But I'm saying that was such a big highlight because it's like, that was the one time he went to his left and they're like, look, he can do it.
Oh, God.
There's proof.
I'm so tired of it.
It's fine. Buckeyes got themselves a commitment. We'll tell you about him not in two minutes. That was old tease. This is now. Tell you about him next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. No crashes on your roadways right now. Busy traffic on the west side on I-70 and on 71 near downtown. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan
outcome. All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tyvus Powell helped the Buckeyes win a national championship. T-Bone watched Tyvus Powell help the Buckeyes win a national championship. Equally important, you're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tweet the program at Bone and Tyvus 971, or you can hop in the YouTube chat. Just go to YouTube, 971 The Fan, click on T-Bone and Tyvus. Alex said, Dylan is mentally irregular. Worst NBA champ of recent memory is the 2010-2011 Dallas Mavericks. They got red hot at the same time LeBron went ice cold. That was a, you know what? Both teams have a similarity. They both have a guy from Puerto Rico on their roster. J.J. Barea was on those Mavs teams. And what's his name? Alvarado.
Yeah.
Plays for the Knicks, who likes to sneak up on you and steal the ball.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize. Like
Grand Theft Alvarado.
Grand Theft Alvarado. Is it Jose Alvarado?
Yes.
That's his first name. Yeah. He grew up in, like, Queens. So, like...
Oh.
for that dude to like from the city, from the area, growing up there, getting to help the Knicks win their first title in 53 years.
I mean, so many redeeming qualities about this team, and Dylan just chooses
on it.
Violence on a Monday morning
on it.
I want, you see, I draw the line at the Kevin Durant going to the Warriors, but I want dominance. I want dynasties. Well,
but that you say that, and I mean, like, that's fine. You can want it, but the argument was that people want that. And I think what people, I think
people watch it.
That's different though. Wanting it versus engaging with it. Like, there were a lot of people who, when he was at his height, hated Ric Flair. They watched Ric Flair. And yes, if you ask them a question, do you like Ric Flair? They'd be like, no, I can't stand him. You know, and he was a heel. Like, he would go out and tell everybody how poor they were and how rich he was, and he couldn't relate to them. That was all shtick to get people to watch.
But you need a heel, though.
You need someone that you want to root against.
Yes.
And I get that. But what I'm saying is, like, while that might be better for the ratings, although, like I said, the Knicks series will probably prove that to be a little bit wrong, it is the Knicks, and that is New York. If the Lakers are in it, same thing. People want something that's identifiable to root either for or against. When it's, if it were like, I don't know, say the Thunder versus Charlotte, the angle there would be, well, I hope Charlotte gets a dunk because I don't want to see the Thunder win again. But it wouldn't have the same juice as the Knicks playing and there being like a 53-year drought that could be ended. I'll tell you this, if the Bulls ever got good and got back to the finals with a dominant team, there would be a lot of 90s kids who would be
so
saying,
annoying, by the
I got to go check that out now because I haven't checked in on the Bulls since Derrick Rose stopped
being
good.
They sell that place out every night.
Oh, yeah, their fan base would be incredible. Yeah, it would be incredible.
My only point is that this Knicks team doesn't win the championship most years. They needed circumstances to win the championship.
Doesn't everybody need a little bit of circumstance, though?
Oh, of course they do. I think that's fair, right? I mean, there have been...
Like, when 20 years from now, when we're thinking of the greatest teams of all time, no one is going to mention this Knicks team. Not
I
a soul.
Don't think that's true at all. Like,
yeah, you're putting this team up against Jordan's teams, the Heatles, Shaq and Kobe.
Like, okay, like the Giannis-led Bucks. Like, are people remember Giannis, like, winning a title? And obviously, you and I know, and NBA fans know that team was good. But like the casual average fan probably has forgotten that the Bucks won a title, which they did in this last 8 years. But they're going to remember, oh yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's crazy, the Greek freak. That's it.
And you mentioned
they're going to forget all the other guys who were on that roster.
Whoever in the YouTube chat mentioned the Mavs, is Jalen Brunson as good of a player as Dirk or Giannis?
Yeah, he's up there. He's up there for.
Let me know when Jalen Brunson gets in the Hall of Fame,
dude. Just watch, like, give him time. He very well may be like. I didn't know Becky Hammon was here running deep today.
I swear.
I mean, like, I get it if previously you were like, I don't know if a guy that little can get the job done, but how could you watch this last 2 months of the NBA if you did watch the playoffs, which I know you did, Dylan? Like, how could you watch that and be like, ah, I don't think he's that good? And it's like, he's literally the only guy on the floor who could do anything in the fourth quarter. The Spurs had it running down their leg in the fourth quarter. And, like, maybe that's on their decisions to play certain guys over others. Like, I think it's interesting.
They got Joe Mazzulla Jr. over there coaching,
dude,
by the way.
Yeah.
Need to just bring Pop back. I don't know what his status is.
Maybe hire Becky Hammon. She was on the staff there. Remember, she was an assistant coach there.
She would have figured out how to stop Jalen Brunson.
She wouldn't.
Off of her own reputation. Hatred.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. Like, I got to stand on business so that man is not going to hurt us.
She would have had Dylan Harper out there like early and often. Darren Fox would have been on the bench, which, you know, do you remember? I think this is some deep NBA lore that probably a lot of people have forgotten about. When Mike Brown was coaching the Sacramento Kings,
the Beam
and if you're
team.
Saying, do they exist? Yes, they do.
The Beam team.
But this guy, De'Aaron Fox, who's getting just destroyed for killing the Spurs most of this series because he was terrible, the team he came from was the Kings.
Yes.
Like, he and Tyrese Halliburton used to run together, and when the Pacers had a chance to pick one of those two guys, they went with Tyrese Halliburton. But remember, Mike Brown got fired when he worked for the Kings, because after one possession specifically at the end of a game, De'Aaron Fox closed out in a spot where they were only, I'm trying to remember what the situation was, but he basically, they could have lived with a three. What they couldn't live with was a three and a foul. And he did that, and the team they were playing against won the game. And after the game, he said, he basically threw De'Aaron Fox under the bus and was like, I don't know what his idea was. I don't know what he was thinking about. 3 days later, he got fired.
Well,
Mike Brown did. And now he gets
right.
He gets more redemption because now everyone is agreeing that Darren Fox probably should not be in the basketball court, at least in critical moments.
Yep.
And Mike Brown's team just won the title, which is also a fascinating phrase to say.
So. Yes, it is.
By the way, De'Aaron Fox cannot be on this team next year.
Why?
Because
just because he's bad. I thought you meant there was like some contract. No. You can,
because if I was his teammate, I wouldn't want him on the team.
Yeah, somebody might fight him. Awful. Like, it's the type of situation where, like, because he's one of the vet guys as a starter or whatever, like, he'll jump on you at practice and you'll just look at him and be like, boy, I know you're not talking to me.
No.
Like, it's a fight waiting to happen.
Yeah, that is 100% correct. But yeah, congrats to the Knicks on their championship. By the way, four-star corner Deontay Malone has committed to Ohio State. This is a dude from Massillon Washington High School, of course. Massillon, the football powerhouse that they are in this state. He is 6 foot, 184 pounds. He is a four-star guy for the 2027 class. He had offers from Michigan State, Auburn, Boston College, Maryland, Michigan, North Carolina, Pitt, Purdue, West Virginia. Anyway, supposedly runs a 4.43 40-yard dash.
Somebody call him and get him out there against Tyvus this weekend.
That'd be a good gauge for Tyvus.
I like it.
Be a good little NIL package for the young boy over there as well.
Yeah, but this is this is the 14th commit of the 2027 class. So that class starting to round into shape a little bit, as I'm sure more and more commits will follow in the next few weeks with that. But yeah, there you go. Four-star corner committing to the Buckeyes. Some bad news for the Guardians. We'll tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Monday. Still no crashes as you head out the door on your Monday. We are watching things get busy on 71 near downtown. Also on 33 on the southeast side. But again, we're crash free as of right now. I'm 10TV's Amy Stuckerwald with your family.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. A couple champions were crowned over the weekend. We'll start on the ice where the Carolina Hurricanes won Lord Stanley's Cup after beating the Vegas Golden Knights 3-0 in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Jordan Staal won the Conn Smythe at age 37, being the oldest player to do so. On the hardwood Saturday night, the New York Knicks defeated the San Antonio Spurs 94-90 in Game 5 of the NBA Finals to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Jalen Brunson won Finals MVP with a 45-point Game 5 performance. And the Cincinnati Reds lost 5-3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks yesterday. The Redlegs have now lost 8 of their last 10 games. They'll be back on the diamond tonight versus New York Mets. Coverage starts at 6:40 over on the Fan 2. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer today. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Tyvus has a bum wrist from playing football. Bone has a bum wrist from opening the heavy doors at Sheetz. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
I have to tell you guys about a psychopath that I ran into at the grocery store.
Okay.
I go yesterday, and this was one of those moments that you have when you're married for 20 years where you tell your spouse, hey, I'm going to the store. Because I had to go pick up, among other things, like, my razor that I use to shave my head and my beard and all that stuff. I use like clippers. Like you would go to the barber and you have the like, pang, you know, they're plugged into the wall.
Yep.
They're loud, but they get the job done.
Yes.
Well, they crapped out. I had them for like 10 years and the blade stopped oscillating. Whatever the thing is, it does, it stopped working. So I had to go get new ones, which is why I look like a mountain man. If you saw me like over the last, I don't know, week or so, like everything was growing out. And I was like, I got to go get these clippers. And I just never went and did it. So I said, I'm going to the store to get these. They had them at Walmart. Do you need anything? She goes, yeah, I'll text you. I'm like, okay. I get to the parking lot. I see the text. It's like 27 items of stuff.
Come on.
And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know I was signed up to go for like grocery store, right? So I went from just, I'm going to run in and get this to now I got to get a cart. So I go get that, get the razor. Then I go get groceries. And then I'm like, as you're going, it's like, well, probably need milk.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot, you know, probably need this. And I start adding. Eventually, I had like a week's worth of groceries suddenly in the cart out of nowhere. So I get to the grocery checkout line. And I was thinking like in my head, I'm just going to go through the self-scan. When you have that many groceries, it's a busy Sunday. I don't want to hold up the line. So I figured I'm going to take my lumps. I'm going to go into the regular, you know, the non-self-checkout with an actual cashier. Something I rarely do. But I found one with just a couple people. I waited my turn. I start putting my stuff on the belt, and I get the little bar.
Right.
You know, the bar where you stick it in between
the divider.
The divider.
Yeah.
That divides your stuff from their stuff. So no one's behind me. I load everything up. I'm waiting. Get up there. Cashier's like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm good. I look back. Someone has now joined the line.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm talking to the cashier, I look back again. The person behind me, she has decided, like, my last item, she took and put her first item directly next to it and then proceeded to fill it in so that when all of her stuff was out of her cart, it looked like I just had doubled the size of the conveyor belt. There was no divider used.
Okay.
And I'm looking at this situation going like, clearly she's just not aware that there's two dividers sitting there in the little slidey area on the belt. And I'm looking, and I don't say anything because I feel like that would be unhinged. I almost grabbed the divider and then like put it there, but then I thought that would be unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
So I just let it happen. And I can see the cashier kind of looking at me like, is this really happening? So then we get towards the end and she goes, is this all your stuff too? Because she has to assume like maybe this person knows me. How casually she just did this. I said, no, this is not my stuff. This is my life. Like these cheese, it's right here. This is the last thing. And so she's like, okay. And so then she finishes total and she tells me the total. And then she gave me a look that was just like, I'm sorry. I had to ask. I'm like, it's fine. I feel like that's psychopath behavior.
Okay.
To just show up to the thing. And then she's on her phone the entire time, not even acknowledging that, like, oh, my fault. You know what? I'm sorry. I can't believe I did that. Nothing. Like, no acknowledgement whatsoever that that was weird. So, I feel like that's way too personal in the line.
I'm going to victim blame here.
Okay.
I think when you load your groceries onto the conveyor belt, you should put the divider down behind you when you're done.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, don't put it in that psychopath's hands.
It's not for you.
Yes. Okay, but
it's because of them.
Hold on. No one was there when I finished.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, I throw it down just as a
an
insurance policy every time.
Now, to be fair, like the amount of times that I go through, even usually if I know I'm going for like a week's worth of groceries because of the schedule we keep, I don't go Sunday at like noon or 1 o'clock because that's not a good time to do that.
Yeah. Monday at 9:30 a.m.
Yeah. And then I can go through the self checkout because there's like two people in there and I don't care if I'm holding up the line a little bit. I'll take my time with it. I'll be quick, but like there's not 50 people waiting to use it. So I don't feel bad. So I rarely go through an actual conveyor belt situation anymore.
I do. I actually almost, I can't say I fully do, but I almost refuse to do a self-checkout situation because I am not paying to do work in a grocery store. I've already done enough work where I've walked around, I've gotten all my stuff off the shelves, I'm helping out the old short ladies who are, sir, you're so tall, can you grab that off of the top shelf for
me? Oh, sure, you probably get a lot of that.
I get a little bit of that. The last thing I want to do when I get to the end of my trip is to have to scan and bag. They have people there employed that can do that for me, and I will take full advantage of that.
Sure. Okay, that's not unreasonable.
I've gotten to the throw the thing down, the divider down afterwards because use the conveyor all the time.
I'd so rarely use it that I never even thought. I just thought, yeah, if there was someone there, as a courtesy, I would say, you're going to want this there.
Right.
I'll go ahead and put it down. There was no one else there. And then I look back and she's, at that point, I feel like it's on her to like, but either way, leave 6 inches of space and then put your stuff down. It would be easier for the person doing the groceries. She literally put them next to my stuff. Like if nothing was said, they just all would have ended up in my bag. And I actually thought about saying nothing. And just paying for her groceries and then leaving. You're like, no, that's all mine. Why not?
She's got to see the experiment through.
First of all, as soon as she started doing that, I would have threw the divider right
there. Yeah, I agree.
I felt like that would be way too much.
No, I just felt like that with a little
passive aggressive,
excuse me, as I put it down.
Yep. It was, I had never experienced someone doing that because I just would have thought, I'm usually the person that does it. Like there was a person in front of me. And I grabbed the divider, put it down, and then I immediately put my stuff on so I could put it as close to their stuff as I wanted, but there's a clear divider there so I could fit it all in the belt. Anyway, I just, I, I didn't know that's how we're rolling at the grocery store these days. That's what I'm saying. And I it is now maybe made me think I may never go to a conveyor belt situation again if
you
this
should.
Is what we got.
Try it
on.
Again. And try it the way,
I guess now
try it the way that we have recommended it to you. And you'll have a much better
experience.
I'll
put the thing down now whenever, but I feel like that's like, don't touch my stuff. Leave me alone. Like, I feel such like a 6-year old doing that.
No.
I just figure most adults could be trusted enough to know you're not going to put your stuff right next to mine.
You can't trust them. That's why you put the divider down when you're done.
Apparently not. Yeah. I had no clue.
It's not for you. It's for them.
I would say ever since March of 2020 when COVID hit. So my very first trip to the grocery store after COVID, I was like, okay, I'm going to wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and go when they open. And it was still just a jungle in there.
Yeah.
I've done pickup ever since. So to take your sentiment even further, I'm not even shopping for my own groceries, Joshua.
We'll see.
Somebody else is grabbing my groceries, and I'm just pulling up to the parking spot and popping the trunk.
That's a smart move. I don't know. If they're going to let you do, does it cost anything?
Not if you get over like $35 or $40 worth of stuff.
That's
a kid.
A couple loaves of bread and some eggs, you're there.
I'll tell you what, it's the setup. For me, I know like lots of people also do the Amazon box where they get like
I'm not there yet,
toiletries,
but I'm on that path.
Paper towels, yep. Like stuff you use all the time. They just once a month get a box of that stuff to replenish.
Yep.
I've thought about that too. It's all about the pickup stuff, scheduling it the first time where it's like, I got to go through and put 100 items in here for all the stuff we need. I'm sure once you do that, you can save the order.
Yeah.
And then you can just do it again.
Or it'll be like, here's stuff that you've bought. Here's stuff that you've bought that's on sale. Here's stuff that we recommend for you.
That's a good call. I need to probably get on that program. So you're right.
Put the groceries in the car and then leave. Of going into the store.
I don't.
Nah.
I
hate
the
people
watching.
I
talk to strangers. My wife hates it, but I talk to strangers in the store.
See, that's because, again, I think in part of this is because you have little kids where you're just like, you're so used to not socializing that this seems like socialization. What I found is like, I now have so limited time to socialize with my actual friends. I don't want to spend an hour and a half of it socializing with random people kind of in a grocery store.
I mean,
I'd rather spend an hour and a half with like a true friend, get dinner, and then like have some drinks and then be like, that was cool. And we spent 2 hours. That was great.
The big schmooze at Costco. Everybody I know is in there. Oh man, I know I know three people that work there. I talk to them when I see them, and then run into a neighbor, an old friend. I love the big schmooze.
I don't mind socialization. I like being out with people. I was at a Jimmy Eat World concert this weekend. I was out there. We were living life, man. It was good. But like, if I'm going to hang with people, I'd rather hang with people I know. I don't want to do that in a grocery store. That is purely utilitarian. Get in, get out, get
your
stuff.
This old dude told me a dad joke the last time I went to Costco. I thought it was great. I laughed. It was a phenomenal experience. This is what we're missing out on.
Wow.
See,
I guess I didn't realize that.
MJC1414 in the YouTube chat, who has been arguing with me the whole morning. We have finally come to an agreement on something.
Okay.
He also says that pickup is a way to save money because you're not in there getting stuff you don't need.
That's true. You can sit there literally be eating a Whopper while you're doing it at your house.
Yeah.
You can
like
eat some food so you're not hungry.
Right.
You can be rational and be like, oh, I'm never going to eat that. No, I'm not buying those. Who? Dragon fruit? Get out of here. And it's like, but when you're in the store, you're like, I don't know, maybe. Have I had this? Let's try it. Only $9 a pound. Why not? Let's see if it's good. So by the way, the bad news for the Guardians very quickly, Jose Ramirez broke a bone in his left hand swinging the bat on Saturday. He'll be sidelined for an indefinite period of time. They said it's a left hamate bone, which I feel like hamate bone was something that someone could say about me as a verb. Or bonate ham, I guess would be what mine would be. Either way. But yeah, hopefully Jose Ramirez get back soon. They said they're trying to evaluate it. Steven Vogt said they're trying to get some updates on when the timeline is, but for right now, they don't have one, so we'll keep you posted on that when we see it and when we get more news on it. We need to talk about a real American hero next. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. We do have a crash on 315 heading northbound. This is right at the 70-71 split. Watch for crews clearing that out. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan.
Yes.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A mix of clouds and clear skies as we kick off the work week, with temperatures in the 50s to start and then turning into mid to low 70s this afternoon with plenty of sun. Mostly clear again tonight with lows down into the 50s, and then for Tuesday, expect skies to be mostly sunny yet again, a little bit more of a breeze, and highs in the mid to upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. News, special guests, and everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan. T-Bone would like to take a second to remind everyone that Eddie George is awesome. And that Ronnie James Dio was an American treasure. And that pickles are gross. Thank you. Here's T-Bone and Tybus.
Roy Hall, former Buckeye, going to join us in studio coming up in about 15 minutes. He's got a new book coming out this week, so we will talk to him about some Buckeye football, get some thoughts on the upcoming season. We're getting closer every day to Buckeye football, but let's not kid ourselves. It is still June, but it's starting to, you know.
Time flies, really.
NBA, NHL just wrapping up over the weekend. We have now Stanley Cup and NBA champions. Congrats to the Carolina Hurricanes getting the job done because they lured all that talent there to Raleigh, North Carolina, noted hockey and cultural hub.
Mm.
So that's can't win if you don't live in a city that's not LA, New York, Miami, Toronto, or apparently Raleigh. Mm-hmm. It's apparently also a place you can get people to play. So there's that. And then the Knicks won in the NBA. You may have heard about that. Given the fact that like the entire city of New York never stops talking about itself ever when they've done nothing. So now that their sports team is actually good, they will not shut up about this for a period of probably 7 years very least.
Oh, 100%.
So
you didn't mention UFC Freedom 250 at the White House.
I didn't. I didn't see anything about it other than I saw a dude got his face busted open and the referee let him keep going and they had stopped the fight like a round later. And that seemed weird. And then I saw that Eric Trump and Daniel Cormier had some kind of weird interaction that was apparently insane. Well, for those who missed it, Daniel Cormier, who was like what, the lead commenter,
he's like the lead analyst, color commentator,
right?
Fight analyst, whatever you want to label him.
It's him, Joe Rogan, and the other guy, whoever the main guy. Yeah, and obviously former UFC fighter in his own right. He tweeted out something that was it looked like DMs from Eric Trump, who said, "Hey, are these fights rigged?" And he said, "How dare you? No one would." What? And then he deleted these screenshots and then tweeted out, "Man, some of you are really stupid." And it's like, what are you trying to say? Then Eric Trump came out and said, "I've never talked to this dude. This is all AI. This is fake." And of course you can AI fake screenshots. That would be a thing that I would believe. But what's odd is no one's saying Daniel Cormier got hacked, which would be like, oh, well, if he got hacked, then he could come out and say, like, "I got hacked.
Right.
I don't know how this stuff got on there." He instead said, "You people are dumb," which did he? So did he fake the pictures and then post them and then realize, "Oh, that's probably a bad idea," and delete them? It's such a weird situation.
It's weird, but I like the fallout.
I'm with you on that. Honestly, for fight fans, politics aside, this was probably the best that Donald Trump could have asked for his birthday. I mean, America's birthday.
That's right.
Are you kidding? This was Flag Day, Dylan. We all know and love Flag Day. It's the most celebrated holiday. Everyone loves it so much.
We had a bunch of knockouts, and then we had Justin Gaethje, an American, with an upset in the main event. I mean,
oh, well, there
what
you go.
More could you want to have happen at the White House?
Rigged.
Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, okay.
Rigged.
Not rigged at all, right?
Uh-oh.
Who was he fighting? The Strait of Hormuz?
How did that happen? I don't know.
By the way. Hell of a deal that was, by the way. Sounds like we're giving him $300 billion to reopen the thing that was already open.
Also, I saw it yesterday.
It's good times. Good times, everybody.
Also, on the president's birthday, the war in Iran just ended for like the 19th time.
But it ended because apparently we told them, "We'll give you whatever you want. Yep. Just give us our oil, please. Yep. We're so desperate. We're done paying $5 for gas. Please stop." Yeah. So I don't. Is that like a tap out in UFC terms? Is that where us, we just tapped out? We're like, "All right, fine. Here you go." Is that what we did? I don't know. I'm too dumb in politics land. I'll move back to my lane. I want to talk about a real American hero, though, and this is someone who is unsung. So over the weekend, Friday night, this was how we kicked off our weekend, right? You had championships being won. You had this UFC event at the White House. But to start it all off, America, United States men's national team, gets on the board with a 4-1 win in the World Cup over Paraguay at SoFi Stadium out in California. And this was a masterclass from the U.S. national team. Paraguay is not like the greatest team by far in this tournament, but they're not terrible. they did expand the tournament this year to 48 teams. It used to be 32. Some more teams that usually wouldn't get in mm-hmm. are in this tournament. If you would watch, like, Germany yesterday beat Curacao 7-1. That's kind of a lopsided score. You're probably going to see a few more of those scores in this first round because there's just some teams that are not probably on the same level as the best in the world. Paraguay is not one of those teams, though. Like, they would have probably been in the regular tournament if we had still kept that. And the U.S. pretty much dominated them. One of the guys who had an amazing game was Florin Balogun. He was the player of the game, striker for Monaco, who plays for the U.S. I want to talk about how that dude became a U.S. soccer player. This story is fantastic. He is born to Nigerian parents who lived in England. Lived, like, that's where their home was, okay? So they're from Nigeria, lived in England, mm-hmm. okay? Mom was pregnant. They came to New York for whatever reason to visit. She's 7 months pregnant. She goes to get back on the airplane back home. This is obviously 23, 25 years, whatever it was, however old he is. The flight, like, one of the gate attendants at the airline said, ma'am, you are too pregnant to fly. Mm. You cannot get on this airplane. I guess because, you know, when you're pregnant, there's obviously rules about flying, but sure. also, like, if you're over waters and then someone has, like, a medical emergency or a childbirth uh-huh. qualify, probably not the best. You know, if you're over Kansas, you can just land. Can't do that if you're, you know, an hour into a flight over the ocean. So they said, we're not going to let you get on this plane. So she had the baby. Florin Balogun's mom had him in a hospital in New York because of birthright citizenship.
Absolutely.
He's an American citizen. Yes. Let him live. Of course he is.
Yes.
So when time comes to play soccer, he's coming up through England. He is going through, like, their youth national program. He is playing for, like, youth teams in England. He lives and breathes and works and lives all that in England. But he has the option to play for England because that's where he lives. Nigeria, because his parents' heritage, he could play for them.
Right.
But he's a U.S. citizen, so he can also play for the U.S. So they, I don't know if you know this, but there's, like, recruiting that goes on with soccer players. When you have multiple different ethnicities mm-hmm. that you could possibly go to for your, you know, soccer playing, maybe you could go play for, let's say, Germany. But if you're, like, German and American, well, you might have a tougher time getting on the German team than, say, the American team.
Right.
You might get on the team, but you might be a backup. In America, you may be, like, a starter.
Sure.
So they recruit this guy, and he ends up being like, yeah, I want to play for the U.S.
What does recruitment look like?
Well, it is a, one, it's like, if you come here, we have a plan for you.
Are
it's,
palms
it's
being like greased is the question.
I don't think okay. you can.
Well, I don't know.
Like,
I didn't believe you could either, but I'm just curious.
I'll put it this way. It's FIFA. So yeah. there's probably more greasing and palms than I'd like to admit.
All right.
It's definitely not as structured as, like, the NCAA, but yeah, these guys get a choice of where they want to play, and they look at, where would I have an opportunity to play?
It's pretty amazing how we got to this conclusion, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, so if you look up, this is kind of not an uncommon thing for a player to have multiple ethnicities, whatever background. There's a guy who played for Japan yesterday. I want you to look up the goalkeeper for Japan. Mm-hmm. His name is Zion Suzuki.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And if you have you, are you aware
I've
of this
seen
dude?
Him, yeah.
Okay. This dude is from New Jersey.
Yes.
But his parents, like, I think his mom or dad is Japanese, and they moved to Japan when he was a kid, and Zion Suzuki played and starts for Japan now. But, like, you know, that's, you can play different places. There's a guy who's playing for Germany who also is from the U.S., or, like, his biological father's from U.S., mom is from Germany. He's lived in Germany his whole life.
Right.
He had an opportunity to play for the U.S., but he was like, nah, I'll play for Germany, and he's really good. So, like, but either way, that's, I love the fact that we have Florin Balogun on this team. I love the fact that this team is actually looking amazing.
Somebody, Pablo Torre, find the flight attendant.
Dude, that's right up his alley.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I would love to kind of connect those dots and hear a little bit more about this.
Pablo Torre found the Airbnb where Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson.
Jordan.
That's where, like, where then when they were getting it on. Before anybody really knew who she was and what was going on there. Remember how the video came out of the Airbnb with yes. shirtless Bill Belichick walking out and going to get something out of his car?
Nasty.
He found that Airbnb and interviewed those people. So, yes, he could absolutely find the flight attendant, whoever it was that stopped Florin Balogun's mom from getting on the plane.
Investigative journalism is sick.
He scored 2 goals.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this. The most goals in a World Cup, not like one, all the World Cup combined, the most World Cup goals any U.S. national team player has is Clint Dempsey, I believe, with 5.
Oh.
Florin Balogun has 2.
He's on his way.
So, yeah, that was a really good start. Now, the thing to keep, I had, so Mario in the chat asked, am I optimistic about this team? Yeah, big time. Because the one question about this team was, they've got talent. Will they play for their coach, Mauricio Pochettino, who has coached big clubs all over Europe? His knock is he can get guys to play for him, but then there's burnout after a couple years of like playing 40, 50 games in this system every year.
Right.
If they don't win the championship, he kind of burns his players out. Well, good news. You're not going to be, this isn't club soccer. This is, you have the tournament for a month and then you never see this guy again for 6 months. Like, so no burnout needed. This, like, if they can figure out his system and play within it, which it looked like they could on Friday, find out. So this Friday, 3 p.m., Australia, next on the docket.
Okay.
That'll be another good test for the U.S., but the party should be insane. I saw people were partying at Bridge Park all over the place.
Oh, yeah. It was packed there. Did you go?
Insane.
No, but that's in my neighborhood, and I wasn't happy with the traffic, but
yeah.
It that is what crazy. It is.
And I'm then all those same people were out at the Bridge Park Market Saturday morning.
Yes.
It was packed there.
They just slept there. Yeah. They slept, they woke
and
up.
They woke up and they got donuts and pickles.
Donuts and pickles. I don't know.
That's what we got.
How do you merge those two? I'm going to.
And then they bought a flag at the farmer's market because for some reason they're selling those there.
Sure,
even though
why
it's
not?
Like farmer's market.
Yes, but it's, you know, got to get your USA flags for it. Yes, the party continues for the world soccer and obviously for the U.S. national team. All right, we'll switch gears. We'll talk some Buckeye football. Roy Hall will join us in studio coming up next. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Monday. Still tracking a crash on State Route 315. This is heading northbound in the downtown stretch, just past that 70-71 split. We've got crews clearing that out right now, but watch for delays as you head northbound. I'm 10TV's Amy Sagerwald with your fan
benefits. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus played in some of the biggest stadiums in the world. T-Bone has eaten some of the biggest pizzas in the world. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Well, Tyvus is not here. He's on paternity leave, but he booked a guest for us because, you know, Dylan didn't do it. So that's definitely how that goes, but... Roy Hall, former Buckeye wide receiver, joining us now in studio. Roy, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for jumping on. We appreciate it.
Appreciate being on, fellas.
Yeah, this is good. You look like you're built for mornings because, like, when I first started doing this shift, it took me an hour to kind of wake up, but you're awake. You're ready to go.
Bright
I'm
ready
eye.
To go. Yeah,
absolutely. Bushy tail. Yeah.
I'm ready to run some half gassers right now.
I don't know about that.
Come on now.
You look like you could still get after it, though.
I could get after it a little bit. Yeah. You could get about two or three of them,
I could get some half gassers in. I probably got two good plays left in me, then after that, I'm done.
I got one.
Yeah.
I got one play. That's it. Enough to get injured and get that settlement.
That's right. That's right.
See, that's what. So, Tyvus, he texted me on Friday, and he's like, hey, Roy Hall was to come on. I'm like, great. And so then I was like, do you want to come on when just, I was like, Tyvus, do you want to have him on? He's like, nah, just have him come in on Monday. And I was like,
sure.
So I don't know if Tyvus like doesn't, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if Tyvus just was, he was like, let's get Roy in now. Let's start it up now.
These DBs get afraid of me. They don't want to show
up. That's what I think it is. I think it is.
And you know Tyvus, he's just milking his little leave that he's on right now. That's all it is. He's going to ride it out, man. As many days off as possible. You talk about free work? Let me go ahead and take that.
That is hilarious.
So I know you've probably been asked about this a ton, but there are, over the last like decade or so of Buckeye wide receivers that are coming through here, like it's first round pick after first round pick. Brian Hartline, not here now, but yet still you have stud wide receivers. Chris Henry Jr., the latest one to come in. When you look at some of these Buckeye receivers that are part of this group now, what do you see? Is like the sky the limit on this? Do you think it's just a reload situation again?
Well, the hardest thing right now for any receiver coming in is the success of Jeremiah Smith, because it's unheard of and unprecedented to be able to come in as a freshman, have over 1,300 yards, 14 or 15 touchdowns, and win a national title. And so the sky and the standard is so high, it's going to be hard for any receiver, Chris Henry or whoever you want, to come in and adapt to that level and that standard. Now, having said that, having him still in the room, Josh, it allows him to be able to teach Chris Henry Jr., any, you know, these young guys in there, even with Brandon Ennis still in there, it gives them an opportunity to really show them what to do. But my goodness, when you come in as a freshman now, you can have 800 yards receiving and they're like, yeah, that's still not 13.
So tell me, Roy, what's the difference, right? Because you saw when I was a player behind the scenes, mm-hmm. you've seen what goes on in that program. What is the difference at Ohio State that guys can come in consistently and be that way?
Well, the biggest thing now is the guys in the room. I mean, you know, once the turnover effect is there, I mean, you were on the tail end of it, but you know, we had Bobby Carpenter and AJ and Schlags, and then you just keep going down the line. That linebacker, and then before Matt Wilhelm, mm-hmm. Andy, I mean, C. Grant, all those guys. Once you have a position group that starts to thrive, now all of a sudden the young people that are considering all the colleges to go to, now with NIL, that changes a little bit. But it used to be a time where you could look up and say, hey, I want to be like Josh Perry. I want to go and be that guy, specifically the local guys in Columbus. They're right. Like, hey, he's from my neighborhood, from my area. I can do it. The same thing with the receivers. Jeremiah Smith is the number one football player in college football right now. So any wide receiver is saying, I want to go there, specifically when you look at the 5 or 6 first round draft picks.
I know you're someone who likes to look forward, and we do have something to talk about, focusing forward, because you got a new book out coming out this week, and we'll talk about that. Fight Through It is the name of the book. But I'm curious, looking back when you were there, this NIL game and everything mm-hmm. that happens now, player movement, that type of stuff, what do you think that would have done for your career, good, bad, or otherwise, if every offseason you were forced to think about, hey, I've got someone calling me saying, you could go over here and maybe get a little bit more money? I mean, there's positives and negatives to that.
Sure.
Positives are you get more cash, might set up things for you in the future. Mm-hmm. Negatives are maybe you don't get to be a part of that organization. How would you look at that if you were a player these days?
There are positives and negatives. I mean, if you come from poverty, if you come from nothing, if you come from some challenging environments, immediately when you see any dollar amount, even the Pell Grant back in the day, you get that $1,300 every quarter. You're like, man, let's go. Going right up to the shoe store, man. We finally about to make it. My mama, I made it with $1,300. I don't know what it would look like to get $3 million, but it can put you in position to set up your future if you have the right resources around you. Now, having said that, most of these individuals and most of the players don't, and then they have to evolve and adapt to be able to take care of that new bag that they've secured. The hardest part is we've thrown and thrusted 18 and 19 year olds into a level of professionalism that even when you get to the NFL, you're not ready for. Managing that sort of money, that sort of pressure, and then knowing that there are other individuals coming in that will probably play before you or have the opportunity to because of their deal. I know Josh saw it in the NFL. Hey, man, I think I'm going to be the guy, and it's another guy that could come in based on his pedigree or how much they're paying him, and they have to play even if they're not better than you. And so I'm not saying that that's what we're doing at Ohio State, but I do recognize that having that level of pressure with the financial component is something that no teenager is ready for.
It's different. And guys have been adjusting to it. Hopefully, as this thing goes on, it gets much better. But to your point, it's just a different paradigm for a young person to have to step in. But I wanted to look forward at this season, and we have the conversation all the time. It's more of a difficult schedule than we've seen the last couple of years, but expectations are always high. So if you had to set realistic expectations for this upcoming Buckeye season, how would you set them?
That's a tough one because our schedule is ridiculous. I mean, what, 6 games or that you can circle is it's almost like a pick 'em. Are we at Iowa, at USC, at Texas?
Yeah,
at Indiana. Yep. You know, we got Michigan coming here, Oregon at home.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, that's 6 games right there where you're like, man, depending on whether the injuries are going on, what's going on with the offense, we got a new offensive coordinator now. I think anything outside of winning 10 games is a problem. We could drop 2 and still make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And of course you would want to go undefeated, but this is a gauntlet that we got to go through. And they set it up this way. They want it this way. They want us playing these games because, you know, the pundits around the country always say we don't play enough people. And we saw what happened last year with Miami and neutral field and all of that. But if we win a 10-2 situation, had a chance to play for a Big Ten title, I could see that being a really good season. Then position. Here's the thing. What's a good season? No matter win or lose, make the playoffs and then we'll see.
Right, right.
Making the playoffs right. is the expectation, and then we get to see if we can win 4 games.
And I think about that so much with your era, other eras previously, of like how many other teams with playoff situations, like what could have been, what could have happened, some other Buckeye teams. But, you know, fighting through something when mm-hmm. you have a bunch of tough things like the mm-hmm. Buckeyes will have this year, that probably brings you to the title of the book, Fight Through It. The battles, breakthroughs, and beauty of becoming resilient enough to never give up. Roy Hall Jr. on the cover. Roy Hall is joining us, but forward by Ryan Day, I see.
So yes, sir.
Got some big names on the back of this book, too, endorsing it. So, yeah. Talk about the book a little bit.
So, in 2020, I got a text message, Bone, from a friend, and he said, hey, Roy, I love what you're doing in the community with your Driven Foundation and coming into the team and speaking to us and such, and I would love to really get into that as well. And at the time, he was coaching some high school football, and he was a strength and conditioning coach in Northeast Ohio. And he said, can we get on the phone and talk? And so we got on the phone that night, Josh, and we talked for about 2 hours. You know, when former ball players get together and talk, it's a long conversation. And he got off, started to implement the blueprint of the things that we talked about. And so a year later to the date, so this was October 12, 2020, and, you know, COVID was going on, and it was like, so October 12, 2021, I wake up like I normally do. I'm listening to the fan and different things. And then a headline comes across and it says, former Buckeye linebacker Devin Bogard dies in apartment fire. A year later to the day. And in that moment, you know, I broke down. I was just, I couldn't believe it. I went back and sent him a text message because I had the same thread that we had. And he had passed away in this apartment fire. And then when you started to dive a little bit deeper, it said he made it all the way to the door when the firemen got there. And so, it was a reminder, number one, of what he had to fight through to get from his bedroom to the door. But most importantly, that every day is a gift and tomorrow is not promised. And there are so many things that happen in our lives from an adversity standpoint, from a battle standpoint, that you have to fight through, not just get through, not just work through, not just pray. It is a literal fight every day. And I wanted to make sure I took stories like that about people that I care about and people that I was close to, put them on paper to be able to influence, help people fight through the different adversities and areas of challenge that come up in their lives.
I got one more before we get you out of here. But what did you learn the most about yourself in the process of writing this book?
That I fought through a lot.
Yeah.
And that those scars and those calluses allow you to get through anything. And when you start to think about the things that you go through, I mean, you retirements, concussions,
right?
The fight that you had to just fight to get out of the league because they wanted to make you stay.
Yeah.
The fight with yourself. What am I going to do next? I've learned that we all have the ability to fight through challenges. And when you start to think about where you are in your life and whatever you're going through currently, if you got through that back in the day, you can get through this. And so it was great to have Coach Ryan Day back up what I was saying and assert himself in the front of it. The beginning of the book starts, so this is where the fight begins. But Coach Day talks a little bit about his fight with mental health challenges and different things and growing up as a kid and losing his dad. But it's been a great journey, and I'm excited about the book, and I hope it blesses a lot of people.
It's out this week. A little motivation for your Monday. Roy Hall Jr., always Driven Foundation as well, doing good work there. You can find out more, of course. I just went on Amazon. It's there. Pre-orders tomorrow, right? I
think yeah, is when it comes releases. Out tomorrow, but you can get it right now on Amazon.com. Just look up Fight Through It, Roy Hall Jr., and it's right there. I appreciate your support ahead of time.
Thanks for coming in, Roy. We appreciate it.
Being on, guys. Thank you.
And thanks to Tyvus for booking guests.
Yeah.
Dylan.
Dylan. Overachiever of the Week coming up next. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now, two crashes to flag for you. 315 northbound just past the 70-71 split. We've got the Wrightshoulder blocked off as crews clear out a crash. And then for our drivers out in the New Albany area, 161 eastbound, the Wrightshoulder is blocked off just past 62. I'm 10TV's Amy Suckerwald with your fan.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Two men who both know the value of a good hat.
You're bald!
This is Bone and Tyvus.
Lively, busy day today. If you have missed any part of the program, we've had Stanley Cup discussion. We've had NBA title discussion. We've had hamate bone discussion with Jose Ramirez getting in
here. Hamate.
We have had World Cup discussion. We had discussion about psychopaths at the grocery store. Roy Hall just joined us. former Buckeye. That's all in the first hour and a half. Who knows what we got coming up the rest of the show. But
are we going to have Joshua eat a thing?
Oh, I forgot. We do. We have a possibility of doing an eat a thing today, too. We can do that as well.
All right. Eat a thing.
If you've missed any part of the show and you'd like to hear some or all of that or whatever, maybe you want to hear some other parts of the show or you just want to keep the show every time so you can listen to it whenever you want, you can download the T-Bone and Tyvus podcast on your favorite podcast app. Just go there, hit subscribe, hit like, hit follow. When you find T-Bone and Tyvus, you'll get every episode free to your device. Plus, you also get a, now we're doing the weekly show on Saturdays, the best of, air quotes,
yes,
that Dylan puts together. He struggles to find an hour's worth of material, but you can get that as well in your podcast feed. It's all brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus. It's time to talk about some people who had pretty good weekends.
And now, it's time to highlight someone who's better than us in every single way. Meet our overachiever of the week.
Sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air, your trusted experts in air conditioning and heating 7 days a week.
All right, so I'm going to go here because Dylan apparently thinks this Knicks team is overrated, bad, and really shouldn't even count, even though they just won the first title for their franchise in 53 years. He thinks they are not good. I'm going to give the overachiever of the week to three guys. I'm going to give it to Jalen Brunson, give it to Mikal Bridges, and give it to, why am I blanking on the third dude? From Villanova.
Josh Hart.
Josh Hart, yes.
Villanova Knicks.
Yeah, Josh Hart. Those three all played together at Villanova, won an NCAA title. Now they've won it with the Knicks. And I feel like that's a pretty solid overachiever accomplishment, even though I think Jalen Brunson's a great player. I think that those two guys, all three of them combined, getting to be able to do that in college and in the pros, pretty awesome stuff. Pretty great friendship. The thing that they probably will do, movie, documentary, something about at some point, the fact that those dudes won together in college and the pros. So that's my overachiever for this week.
All right, my overachiever, I'm going to go with Mike Brown, the coach of the Knicks. And, you know, his career has been interesting because there were times in his career where you're like, oh my God, this guy is a superstar, he's a rising star, whatever the case was. And then there would be other times where you're like, I don't know if this guy can actually coach. Right? Yeah. Like the time he was with the Lakers, there was like, can this guy actually coach? You mentioned the Beam team, the Sacramento deal. It was like, I just don't know if he's got it. And then he goes to New York and they're able to put together this championship, of course, which Dylan says was very circumstantial. But nevertheless, when you look at his bio forever, it will say champion head coach. So overachiever of the week.
Yeah, it puts a damper on the LeBron guys like me saying that he didn't have a coach in Cleveland.
Well,
people are going to look back on it and be like, oh, man. Or his first stint in Cleveland, yeah. I should say. Ty Lue, fine head coach.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mike Brown, NBA champion. Never thought I would say that.
Is it that is he a great head coach or better than Mitch Johnson is for the Spurs?
Oh, my goodness.
Like, maybe that, there is a little bit of that. I don't know.
I mean, I think it's a combination of coaching and the team being young, but that's kind of where coaching needs to take over, right? And
yeah, you need to
not do a good job.
If you got a
that.
Young team, you need a legit coach.
That's exactly right. Who's your overachiever, Dylan?
Mine's Justin Gaethje from UFC Freedom 250. He won the main event. It was the unification of the lightweight title. He fought Ilya Topuria, who was a minus 500 favorite going into the fight. So Justin Gaethje, pretty big underdog, but he won the fight last night at the White House. I never thought we would have sanctioned fights at the White House, but it happened over the weekend. And I would say it was a pretty good event. I kind of watched it thinking it wasn't going to be great. You had like huge storms with like 30 mile per hour winds and rain supposed to run in, but they somehow got through that. The weather cooperated, and it was actually a pretty good UFC event, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the UFC. I saw it was all over social media when I woke up this morning, so that seems like it went well. The weather mostly held off, I think. Right, they had a little delay at the beginning, but then otherwise they got it in. So that's always a concern when you have big sporting events outside.
I guarantee you they don't try to do a UFC outside ever again. That was probably too much stress.
Probably not.
I mean, just looking at some of the costs associated with trying to put together, and I know the White House complicates that.
Yeah,
but
we
like,
paid for that. That's fine.
But like that we venue, doing it outdoors specifically like that and trying to get as many people involved, like it was also expensive. So I don't think they're going to. They're going to do it again.
No, probably not.
Maybe. Well, no.
Not well, who knows? I don't know.
Who knows?
If they do it again. Well, I did see like all the bonuses are getting paid out in like whatever the Trump meme coin is that they produce. The
that's
crypto.
How they're giving out the five
bonuses?
Yeah,
they're giving out. Yeah, because
that sounds disappointing.
I would never. I'm telling you right now.
Sounds like heated. Something, Dylan. It sounds like something. I don't know. Disappointing is the word I would use, but it's definitely something. They also, They also said that all the fighters, I thought this was a weird decision. They all have to drink from the algae filled reflection pool now. They said they had to. That's the official water of the UFC Freedom 250. They had to drink from that. That worked out well. By the way, I want to give you a little tip on World Cup. I know I'm the guy here, like as far as, you know, on this show, I follow soccer. I like soccer. There are other guys here who follow soccer too on the fan, but like I enjoy soccer. I've watched for years. Putting you on something today at noon. If you have the schedule that permits you to check in on something at noon, maybe you work from home, maybe you're whatever.
If you work from home, you should still be working, by the way.
Okay, and you can throw a TV on while you're working. You can glance over at it.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you can find like over totals or things like that on specific players for the World Cup, Lamine Yamal, Spain is playing today. They have their first game, and I'm just going to tell you right now, if you are not familiar with Lamine Yamal's game, go watch this dude. He's like 19 years old. He is a freak. He has been rumored to be possibly hurt. Like there were concerns about him being healthy enough. His coach has come out and said he's healthy. He's good to go. That game's at noon today against Cape Verde. All respect due to Cape Verde. Take the over on goals for Spain.
Put some respect on Cape's name.
And okay. I'm telling you, Spain should probably. This one's in Atlanta, so it's indoors. That's another concern because some of the games being outside in 90 degree heat.
Yeah.
Players aren't always used to playing in that.
The Europeans are like,
they're wilting in that.
Yeah, but they are.
Yeah, it's a good lineup today for the World Cup. You got Spain playing at noon. You got Belgium and Egypt, which should be a pretty good game. That's in Seattle at 3 p.m. At 6, it's Saudi Arabia and Uruguay, which I love saying Uruguay, but also good team, Uruguay. They're playing in Miami. That's at 6. And then 9 o'clock tonight, Iran and New Zealand. That Iran's had a lot going on, so we'll see.
They've been through a lot.
We'll see. I'll focus. I'm not making fun of that. I'm saying legitimately, there's been a lot going on. And whatever you think of their government,
I agree.
Their players have nothing to do with
it. It would be a hard thing to just be like, I'm going to go out and play knowing everything that's going on.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's the point. Yeah. Yes. But that's all. So you got four games today in the World Cup. I'm not going to lie. We just got the NBA and NHL wrapped up over the weekend. This is usually the time where, unless you're a diehard baseball fan, you now start to run a little light on things to check in on. You have the World Cup for the next month.
I'm still a little light.
Okay, that's fine. If you don't like soccer, I get it. But did you watch any of that USA game?
No.
You didn't get excited about that at all?
I watched Bar Rescue.
I like Bar Rescue.
No, Bo, to your point, when you're giving them that gambling advice, all the degenerates are out there are like, man, no hockey. Basketball.
Well, now you
bet on baseball today?
Yeah.
Now they could go ahead and bet on soccer, thanks to you.
Yeah, Spain is minus 1,400 to win this. Like you have to bet $14 to win a dollar for Spain if you think they're going to win this game. Like, they're heavy favorites in this game.
Soccer prop bets. That's what you gave the degenerates.
I'm telling
today.
You, a Lamine Yamal goal or assist, you might want to check in on that. I'm just telling you, that dude's something. Assuming he is healthy, which they're saying he is. So something to keep an eye on. I have a sports prediction that aged like milk in the sun. We will talk about it next. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. We are still watching two crashes. The first on 315 northbound, just past the 70-71 split downtown. We've got the right shoulder blocked off over there and some delays as you head northbound. Also out in New Albany, 161 eastbound, there's a crash that has the right shoulder blocked off just past 62. I'm 10TV's Amy Sagerwald with your Fan.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. A couple champions were crowned over the weekend. We'll start on the ice where the Carolina Hurricanes won Lord Stanley's Cup after beating the Vegas Golden Knights 3-0 in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Jordan Staal won the Conn Smythe at age 37, being the oldest player to do so. On their hardwood Saturday night, the New York Knicks defeated the San Antonio Spurs 94-90 in Game 5 of the NBA Finals to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Jalen Brunson won Finals MVP with a 45-point Game 5 performance. And the Cincinnati Reds lost 5-3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks yesterday. The Redlegs have now lost 8 of their last 10 games. They'll be back on the diamond tonight versus the New York Mets. Coverage starts at 6:40 over on the Fan 2. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame with Awaken 180 results this summer. With the solution for weight loss, Awaken180WeightLoss.com. Breaking sports news right here on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
One of these men was prom king. The other is Tyvus. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tweet the program at Bone and Tyvus 971. We will have the breakdown with Joshua Perry coming up at 8:30.
Dylan, you got my phone number?
Joshua Perry is here filling in for Tyvus. By the way, we had like kind of a little countdown going on to the arrival of baby tsunami for Tyvus. He and his wife obviously had a baby a couple weeks ago. Congratulations to them. Now is the countdown to the return of Tyvus? I don't know.
It should be.
But there's, you know, he'll be back next Monday.
That confirmed?
Well, I mean, that's when his leave ends. No, now, maybe not. I mean, I don't know. He's in the YouTube chat every day. Why don't you ask him and find out if it's confirmed? I'm pretty sure it is.
If he was extending his leave, if he was quitting to be a stay-at-home dad.
Oh, maybe.
If Fish decided that Joshua was a better host than Tyvus.
Let's not go there.
There's many factors.
Don't do that.
So many things to consider there. That's right. So many options. Now, if you would like to hang out with Tyvus, he will be joining us. We will all be at the Fan 5K this weekend. You can go to 971therace.com. Still time to register. And if you're saying, I've done zero running the last few weeks, months, ever, that's okay. You can walk the entire thing. You've got 1 mile, 3 miles, essentially, 3.1 is a 5K. And then the 9.71K, which is just about 6 miles, whatever feels like a challenge for you. Every finisher gets a medal. You get race photos. You get to meet lots of people that'll be there. Tons of fan talent will be there. Tyvus will be there, apparently, running the 40-yard dash and then seeing who can beat his times.
So, uh-oh.
Question for
out there
you,
for that. Bro. Come on out. It's all at Otterbein, and it's this Saturday starting at 8 a.m.
Are these events simultaneous, or do they have different start times?
Oh, no. Everybody starts at the same time.
Okay.
And then you, like, they have little, if you're running the mile, you go here. If you're running the 5K, you go here. And if you're running the 10K, you, like,
gotcha.
Everybody turns off different ways. So what's crazy is, like, I'll finish at the same time as, like, walking the 5K as, like, reasonable runners will finish the 10K. Like,
that makes
the
sense.
Actual, like, first-class runners, the ones who are, like, competitive runners that come to this thing, they will finish the 10K before I'll even get halfway through the 5K just walking
around.
It's
insane watching
them. They're nuts.
They are.
Yeah.
They really are.
So if you, even that, if you just want to come hang out, like, come be a part of it, you know, but we, I say just go ahead and sign up, pay the fee, get the medal, get the shirt, get all the goodies with it, and then go just walk the mile if you want to. Common Man will be out there doing the Common Man miles, so make sure you be a part of that as well.
I've been working here for a year. This will be the first bit of fan apparel I get.
That cannot be real.
I promise.
That cannot be real.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not worthy of a t-shirt. Oh,
Fish got to do something about that.
That feels bad.
Yeah.
Here's a take that aged like not just any milk, like I would say buttermilk sitting out with flies in it on like a 90 degree July day for at least 12 hours.
You think a British person would eat that?
Probably. They'd put it on a sandwich with a thick ass slice of cheese and thick ass onions.
All right.
That's that. Yes. Good call.
Okay. We'll divert back to Becky. We'll get to this take in a second, but you sent us something unhinged in the group chat. Joshua, what was that thing? It was like a,
what did they
onions,
call it?
It was sliced raw onion.
Yes.
On a thick piece of cheese.
It's a pub cheese and onion roll. So
this is British food, apparently?
Yeah, two fat ass pieces of bread.
Okay.
And then a thick slice of cheese, probably, I mean, just
like a quarter inch almost, yeah, it looked like.
It's maybe a thick. Little bit thicker than that.
Like thick as concrete.
Yes. And then
I mean, I love cheese, but even I was like, that's a lot of cheese.
It's a lot of cheese.
It's not heated up.
No, but it wasn't in a refrigerator. It was just sitting on a counter, like a tray of these things. And then a thick slice of onion, like they literally just lopped off a piece of onion with all of the rings still on it, put that whole disc of onion on the sandwich,
yeah,
and then top bun, and then for condiment they had salad cream.
Oh, this is a thing in Britain.
Yeah, it's apparently like mayonnaise, but they use vinegar instead of using oil, so it's probably tangier.
Yeah.
But ew.
Also, are they putting it on salad? Why do they call it salad cream?
Like, I hope not.
Do they not have salad dressing? I don't understand the concept of salad cream over there.
I read the caption before I looked at the picture, and my hope was like it was like a grilled cheese type concept on like an onion roll, like, you know,
like that could be good.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Or like caramelized onions,
right?
Oh yeah, if you caramelize the onions and then like laid some melted cheese on it, put that on like a grilled cheese type of situation. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought
that
maybe
would be
they
fun.
Had like onion rolls, like we have onion bagels. That was my initial thought.
Sure.
And I was like, okay.
Reasonable
and then you
thought.
Look at the picture and it's like, no, it's a bun with a thick ass slice of cheese and onions on it.
Do you like, want to hear
British food, man, is so insane. And my algorithm's screwed now because we did the thing.
Yes. Yeah, right.
And now it keeps showing me these nasty meals.
Do you want to know the grossest thing I've ever heard of? I mean, there's lots of gross foods all over the place, right? But this is one I heard of in England years and years ago. I was reading a book about soccer in like the 80s, because of course, soccer boy here. But I'm reading a book about like fans in the 80s going to soccer games before they kind of, in the 90s, they looked at the NFL, the Premier League did, and said, hey, what if we did it like that? What if we had like, I don't know, security at games? What if we had like clearer, you know, advertising for when the games start, when they end? What if we had them on a TV package that people could watch? But before that, it was kind of like the Wild West at soccer games. And they said, you know, there was violence. There were no seats. Everybody just stood on like ramps, essentially, like flat angled surfaces that you would stand on.
Yeah.
And then when a goal was scored, everyone would run down to the bottom of this stand. People would get crushed.
Sure.
You know, it was awful. People died at these games. There were fights. There were all stands collapsed because they didn't have rules on how many people could be in them. It was all bad. But one of the stories from that era is that what you would drink when you went to a game was a thing called Bovril, I believe is what it was.
What the hell is that?
Okay. So picture like a stew where like they take just they put a little bit of meat in it, but mostly it's broth. They would then serve that to you in a cup, and that's what you would essentially stand with like a solo cup and drink while in the stands. It's
how
like
thick?
Apparently like gravy thick. So hot gravy with some chunks of beef floating in it. This is what they said people were drinking in between all the beers, by the way.
So disgusting.
Before and after.
This is so you're disgusting. Talking,
so the whole point of this was like they said when you went into a bathroom in like old British soccer stadiums, it was just dudes throwing up Bovril and beer and then like urinating on the floor or themselves and then wandering back in to rush the field and trample everybody. And they said, yeah, no wonder people didn't want to go to these games back in the day.
That is now disgusting.
Maybe they've gone the other way now where it's like $800 to get into a game because right. All the stadiums are like NFL stadiums. But yeah, that's what they were trying to reform because it was awful.
So in the chat, Tyvus said he'll be back Monday unless he's fired. But also Pumpkin Ryan Day said he's not taking any food advice from Vanilla Ice Cream Guy.
Wow. Okay. You know what?
It's fine. I've opened myself up to criticism with that take. I fully understand it. I'll extend this to you is if you ever want to eat a meal at my home that I cook, you'll understand the flavor is there. It's always there. I just think that vanilla is the alpha ice cream. That's it.
Well, I don't think you have to have whether or not I agree with your vanilla ice cream.
I like
take,
having strangers to the house.
It's fine. I'm just saying. I think we can all agree that a raw sliced onion, a raw piece of cheese on untoasted bread with salad cream on it does not sound appetizing.
There's another condiment in the picture, I thought.
I don't know.
I was perplexed
the
about.
Onion looked the like British, a CD.
Oh, it was garlic mayo. I mean, I could, I don't know.
Well,
maybe.
Garlic mayo could maybe help, but still, it's just like, I was thinking we could put a little onion and cheese on a roll. And it's like, do you want to heat any of that up? It's like, no, mate, eat it raw. Better than Bovril. It's like, yeah, it probably
is.
I was thinking on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday, I was thinking.
Becky Hammon, she is the Las Vegas Aces coach. This is her on ESPN, I believe, this season, right? Talking about how she didn't think the Knicks would ever win or any team would win with a little guy out there. Jalen Brunson is under six. He's 6'2" or less. Only the third player in NBA history who has been that short, who's been named Finals MVP. But here's what she said.
He's 5'11". I don't care what it is.
Yeah. I said under 6'2". I didn't say what height. They say he's like 6'1 or 6'2", but nah, he's not even 6 foot, I would guess. But here's Becky Hammon on why you can't win with him.
They're well coached. They're going to be on their defensive game. But at the end of the day, they don't have a dude. You got to have a dude. You got to have a 1A dude. And they're missing that at the end of the day if we're just getting down to brass tacks. Sorry.
I didn't want to disagree with Becky today, but they do have their dude.
Who?
Jalen Brunson.
No, he's too small.
But here's the thing, and that's
didn't
that's,
they say about you?
But you know
he
what?
Say that about you. But you're a Hall of Famer. You know,
I got a philosophy. But, can I say my philosophy?
Go ahead.
If your best player is small, you're not winning. John Stockton, Allen Iverson, Steve Nash. You could go down the list. Steph Curry is the only guy.
He's not that small. He's like 6'3".
Okay. Steph Curry would be the answer there.
He's not that small, though.
Well, he's 6'3".
I know, that was crazy. Like,
I actually don't think what she said is not totally wrong.
No, it's
in
not.
In the sense of Steph Curry shoots from 40 feet away. He's right. Not putting his body on the line like no, AI
his,
was hitting.
His superpower is something that we hadn't seen before.
And Jalen Brunson is more like that guy who has to get to the rim. The issue was nobody ever checked him like that. Like he did take some hits for sure. I mean, Wemby, you know, fouling him in like game two or whatever that was, game three. But overall, like, this take is not terrible. It just turned out that Jalen Brunson broke the system because he's that good.
Yeah. I mean,
or as Dylan said, the Spurs are that bad. I guess that's the way we have to look at it.
A take like this doesn't account for the thing that showed up the most. His mental edge.
Yep.
And he's tough as nails.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
He's not big. I agree with the take from that standpoint, but he's different.
Yeah. And you know what, Dylan? I'll give you this. If he was going up against the Shaq and Kobe Lakers, as good as he is, like Allen Iverson was going up against just one of the all-time great NBA teams we've ever seen. I'll give you that. That, like, if he's going up against a team like that, maybe they don't win. But he wasn't, and they won. But Becky Hammon, you know what? She was at least asked her opinion. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like she just was out there like, hey, I got to fire this off. She's on the ESPN set, ask this opinion as an expert. She gave it. I think it's a fine opinion. It just didn't work out for her. Which NFL team is likely to break their championship drought next? We'll discuss it when we come back. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now we are watching a couple crashes that are causing delays. The first on 270 eastbound on the north side, just past 23. The right shoulder blocked off over there. Downtown, 315 northbound, just past the 70-71 split. Still watching the right shoulder blocked off over there. Up in New Albany, 161 eastbound, past 62. We're watching a crash. And then on the east side as well, 70 westbound, the right shoulder is blocked off just past Bryce Road. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your
family. If only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A mix of clouds and clear skies as we kick off the work week, with temperatures in the 50s to start and then turning into mid to low 70s this afternoon with plenty of sun. Mostly clear again tonight with lows down into the 50s, and then for Tuesday, expect skies to be mostly sunny yet again, a little bit more of a breeze, and highs in the mid to upper 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Tyvus is drinking a protein shake for breakfast. T-Bone is eating a protein donut. Minus the protein. And it's more than one donut. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
You know what? I have some advice for Taco Bell and any fast food place right now who wants to do this thing that I think is stupid. And that is to advertise limited time items on their menu. Okay. I've about had it, and it was something small that set me off, but I got a little ad. I'm surfing the web. I get a little pop-up ad. It's like, new at Taco Bell, try the jalapeno citrus salsa. And I'm like, what? And then I look at it. It's apparently like a sauce packet that you can now get in the, like, whatever taco you're getting. You can just ask for the jalapeno citrus salsa. But the phrase that got me was, for a limited time, only at Taco Bell, participating locations. Try it before it's gone.
That's their thing, Bone.
I
effing hate that. It's a lose-lose for me, okay? Because if I order it and it's bad, now again, it costs you like 20 cents to throw it in the bag. Sure, I could try it.
Look at Mr. Waste 20 cents here and there.
I got that money. I'm going to
have and have, I have nots on this show,
that's
Joshua.
Right.
I know. That's right. I am more of a have, I guess. But I'm saying I could get it, of course, and then if I don't like it, then what it's done is just ruin my meal that day, but I never have to get it again. But that's still a downside, right? To put something that is being advertised as good, you put it on there and it sucks. You try it, you see if it's any good.
Mm-hmm.
So the best case scenario, though, is that happens, where I try it and I don't like it. Because what's going to happen if I do like it? They've already told me it's limited time and it's going away. It's one of my biggest annoyances with fast food places.
Then you hoard.
Well, that's exactly it. Then I have to go knock off a Taco Bell and steal all their sauce packets before they cancel it, which is just going to randomly happen like a week and a half after they introduce it. They'll be like, it's gone forever.
What you need to do in times like this is you tell your daughter to go get a job at the Taco Bell.
That's right.
And then you tell her to just take a pallet of those out the back when her shift is over, and that's it.
But, Dad, I don't want to work at Taco Bell.
That's loser talk.
That's right. Get in there for the good of family.
Well, that's just too damn bad.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
We need that drop. I'll work on that.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
I almost never have FOMO except for when it comes to limited time menu items at fast food places. As soon as I see new or limited time, I am running to that place to make sure I get it before it goes away.
See, I do that too, but I've started to realize that there's no benefit to me doing that, because if I like the thing, it's going away. It's called limited time. But I'm going to be mad that it's not there once they take it away.
But Bone, what happens with most limited time items?
What does happen
with them? They bring them back.
Yeah, like 3 years later after you've completely forgotten about how good it was.
Oh, snap. It's back. I need to go.
I get it.
For example, right now, limited time at Taco Bell, the Cantina menu. I love the Cantina menu. When they bring it back, I go back. I'm not a big Taco Bell guy, but I'll go when they bring back the Cantina menu.
I'm a huge Taco Bell guy, and this is, I guess, maybe it's the difference, right? Is if you barely ever go to Taco Bell, they're trying to lure you in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think it should be the opposite. It's like, I'm there for the soft tacos all the time.
But they know
cheesy
gordita
crunch is great.
They're not marketing to you. They know you're going to be there.
This is for me, for sure. Like, somebody where, like, my wife will be like, oh, man, I want Taco Bell, and I'll drive right past it. But if I see this sign, I'll be like, oh, yeah, honey, let's stop in.
Yes, but again, if you get it and then you like it and then you're like, oh, I'll go to Taco Bell now, then what happens?
No.
This is like bandwagon fans where it's like, oh, yeah, I've been a Knicks fan. It's like, you've been a Knicks fan for 2 weeks. You saw Chalamet sitting courtside and you're like, yeah, me too. Yay. But then when next year, when they're like 3 years from now, if they go like 18 wins, you're not going to be sitting there. You're not going to care. Like, I'm the guy I'm Spike Lee for Taco Bell. Like, he is with the Knicks. I'm there. I've been there since the 80s. I'm not leaving you.
That is hilarious.
I will be there. Don't market to the Chalamets and the Ben Still. Like, it market to me. I'm here. I don't need this extra crap. Like, let's go. Just give me the food I want when I want.
So
it. That's
are you
going
to try it or not, I guess, is the question.
Of course I'm going to try it. Look at me.
I'm going to bitch and moan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but I know what's going to happen.
When I go there, I'm eating it for sure. I know what's going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to try it. I'm going to like it. And then
well,
2 months
get
from
you,
now, it'll be
going.
Get
you some extra packets when you go.
I guess so.
You got a plan.
The guy, you know what? The guy at the window does know me. Like, not from this. Yes. He literally, like, one day I didn't go for a week and a half. I showed back. He was like, oh man, I missed you. Where you been?
He didn't go for a week and a half.
Yeah.
The guy called 911 and was like, hey, I need you to do a wellness check.
It's like, this actually happens a lot with our clientele. You would not be surprised by that.
He doesn't know T-Pone. He knows Jonathan Smith.
He knows the dude who comes through in the blue car and gets the same order every time. It's exactly right. All right, in honor of the Knicks, CBS Sports ranked the NFL teams who have won a championship or who have championship droughts who are the most likely to end it. The Knicks ended a 53-year championship drought this past weekend, of course. Congrats to them. So there are 11 teams in the NFL that have championship droughts of at least 30 years. You know two of them in this state, clearly. The Browns and the Bengals are part of that. But also six more teams that have been in existence since at least 1995 that have never won a title. I guess actually the Bengals are in that category, right? Because the Browns won championships prior to the Super Bowl era, which for those who have forgotten, we're on 60. or 61, I think, is where we're heading now. So
this has been a long era.
But they have won championships prior to the Super Bowl era.
Sure.
So here are who CBS Sports ranked as the top five most likely to break their championship drought. I'm curious what you think of this top five. Chargers fifth, Lions fourth, Bears third, Bengals, they have all the way up at second. With a healthy Joe Burrow, they think the Bengals are just about as likely as anyone in the NFL to break their championship drought. The only team they think has a better odds of doing that this year or soon, other than the Bengals, is the Bills, which, of course, have been close for a number of years in this era. And then going back to the 90s, they had their run of, what, four straight Super Bowls they went to. So, thoughts on this list?
All right. So, how much am I supposed to trust Josh Allen that they should be number one on this list?
I think that's a reasonable question given recent performances.
Yeah, I mean, great player, right? Like, nobody's taking that away from him, but I don't know where my trust level is. And then I couple that with the idea of I fully do not trust Joe Brady. I really don't have many reasons to at this point. Like, I see where they would be one of the top teams that you would put in this category.
Yeah.
But certainly putting them at number one feels like there are a lot of variables here.
What did you put at number one?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Bears and their trajectory right now, like it seems like they're starting to break through. Caleb's going to be a good player for some years. Ben Johnson can coach. The Bengals, it's hard for me to trust Joe Burrow. And we also, they got a hostage as a coach, basically. Right? So, like, you couldn't really put them there. I think the Chargers.
What do you mean? I'm curious. What do you mean they have a hostage as a coach?
Well, I mean, it's like, do you fire him? Do you not fire him? Does he want to be there? It's one of those situations.
Well, I think he loves being there.
He probably loves being there.
Joe Burrow, but
he probably hates the fact that everybody's like, you're a bad coach.
Oh, well, there's that part of it, too. Yeah. The other part of that is, like, no doubt that is who, if there's any chance, Joe Burrow, who has hinted plenty that he may not enjoy being in Cincinnati. But apparently it's nothing against the head coach, because everyone you hear that talks about it from Cincinnati is basically like, oh no, he and Zach Taylor have a great relationship.
That's how bad coaches get to be around.
Yeah. Not a hot take. If Joe Burrow wanted him fired,
he'd already be gone.
Yeah.
I fully believe
there's some relationship there between him and Zach
Taylor.
Even
with the Bengals, who are notorious for hanging on to coaches well past their sell on date, like that's been a thing that they will do, but if Joe Burrow walked in tomorrow to Duke Tobin's office or whoever he has to talk to and said, sorry, this has got to be done, he'd be out of there.
I'll pay the buyout out of my own contract.
Are you suggesting that Marvin Lewis didn't deserve to be the head coach for that team for over a decade? How dare you?
There was some talk at the end where it was just like, are we still doing this? I guess we are. But yeah, I think I don't disagree with their ordering of this, at least the top three. Like, I don't think the Lions, I think the Lions missed their window.
The window's closed to me too.
Dude, they screwed that up, and now, like, I don't know that they're getting bad. Not that they'll be bad. I think they'll be in the playoffs for the next 3 or 4 years. Like, I think that core group can still,
they can win games.
Win lots of games in the NFC. I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl with that core.
I agree.
Chargers,
they're an interesting one to me, because I think that Justin Herbert is an overrated quarterback.
Oh man.
I don't think it's the team.
Yeah.
To your point.
I'm not saying he's a bad player. I think he's a good player. I think he got way too much hype for not doing very much and has just been living off of that. But I also trust Jim Harbaugh to coach a kind of mid quarterback into being really good. Right. Oh, so like they become very interesting to me, because I think he actually knows how to coach a football team.
Yeah. That's tough for me to admit, because I know he knows how to coach a team when he has all the plays. Like, I know that.
He was a good coach in the NFL before.
Yes, you're right.
Stuff.
I know he was. I know. He wasn't cut out for college. I think he was a much better pro coach than he ever was a college coach.
Totally agree. And what they did at Michigan, you can do all day in the pros.
Yeah, he was smart enough to tell J.J. McCarthy to just turn around and hand the ball off 26 times in a row against Penn State that time.
Yeah,
that's good coaching.
He and the vacuum cleaner salesman had that worked out. They didn't figure that stuff out. All right, the breakdown with Joshua Perry is coming up next. And when we get bored with that, Joshua Perry is going to eat a thing, apparently. That's all next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Still watching a crash on 315 northbound just past the 70-71 split. We are also watching a crash on the north side on 270 eastbound past 23. We've got the right shoulder blocked off. Again, that's on the north side of town. Out in New Albany, 161 eastbound, crews are still clearing out a crash in those eastbound lanes, blocking the right shoulder just past US 62. And then on the east side for our friends in Reynoldsburg, 70 westbound, the right shoulder blocked off just beyond Bryce Road. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your family.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. All of the hair on their heads is slowly migrating to the lower part of their faces. And tracking. This is T-Bone and Tybus.
Connor in the YouTube chat, I like this. He said, Hot Take Tuesday. It's not Hot Take Tuesday yet. That's tomorrow. But hey, go ahead and get one off. That's fine. Connor says, Hot Take Tuesday, Justin Herbert is just a high-ceiling Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
Okay. So that's a quarterback that can win a championship, though.
Which one? Kirk Cousins?
A high-ceiling Kirk Cousins?
Oh, yeah. Oh, high-ceiling Kirk Cousins. Yeah. Kirk Cousins at his best? My God.
Yeah.
Well, I'd all take right. that.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's fair. But that's the thing with Kirk Cousins is you don't get that all the time. So high-ceiling Kirk Cousins? All right.
Yeah.
How many other guys would that be true for, though? You know what I mean? Like, if you got the, I don't know how many, like, how far down the list we want to go with quarterbacks, but like, if you only got the best version of Baker Mayfield, the one you get.
I was going to bring him up, and I'm the Baker Mayfield hater of
I'm
the
saying,
show.
If you only got
peak Baker Mayfield, he's got a ring on his finger at this point.
If you only had, yeah, of course. Like, if you go down the list of quarterbacks, there are plenty of them that have high ceilings that if you only got that Jameis Winston, high ceiling. I'm saying, like, where's the line? I'm saying if you only got their ceiling of, like, Jameis Winston at his absolute best, I mean, when you have a few games okay, where he does so throw a bunch of touchdowns and kind of looks.
If you only got the ceiling of Anthony Richardson.
Right, that's okay. That might be a bridge too far because even then, if he's, like, running around doing things, he's like, Coach, hey, T, time out. I'm burning, like in a Long Came Polly.
If we only got the Matt Flynn from that last regular season game. And they got him the contract with the Seattle Seahawks.
Matt Flynn.
Like, what are we doing with this
The
take?
Guy that Russell Wilson made completely irrelevant that year. Because everyone, like, oh, they've signed Matt Flynn. And then this, like, plucky rookie, right? That was his rookie year, wasn't it?
And he beat him out in camp.
Yeah. Mm. And then the rest was history for Russell Wilson, which is, I don't know what the history is now because he's retiring. We can debate the Hall of Fame credentials of Russell Wilson another time, but yeah, like the high ceiling thing, I find that very interesting. But sure, I just wonder if we can get high ceiling Justin Herbert to be like, or you know, Kirk Cousins. If we can get Justin Herbert to be like regular ceiling Justin Herbert, is that good enough? And that'll be the big question for the Chargers as we go forward this year.
The Buckeyes, the Big Ten, and the rest of college football. We tackle it all in a breakdown with Joshua Perry.
All right, Joshua. Give me your, you had a thought on, I believe you told us in our group chat, a take that you wanted to fire off.
Yeah, it's, I need to not go on Facebook, but I do. And so something that bothered me
I
a
get
little
that.
Bit.
It's a wasteland.
So there were two things that bothered me. Is number one, this guy puts out this post in a community page of all the state champions from the Olentangy School District. Shout out to all the young people winning a lot of championships up that way right now. And so it has their names and it has their events and then it has these photos of athletes. But this is an AI generated post and you can tell because it's got the AI font, you know, it's got the whole AI look to it, which people need to stop doing, but we continue to do it.
Yeah.
And so these athletes are also AI athletes and not the actual likenesses of the
students. Pictures are AI generated too?
Yes.
Oh, that's no good.
And so everybody in the comments section is like, who are the girls from the girls lacrosse team? That's not our lacrosse team. You should put a real picture of them in there. Oh, who is the kid from the 300 meter hurdles? That's not the actual kid. You need to. And it was 40 comments of this.
Oh,
40.
Yeah, you can't do
comments
that.
Of this.
You can't do that with high school sports.
Well, no, I don't think you should do that with the posts.
Well, no, you shouldn't do it anyway, right?
Yeah, I'm tired of the whole everybody's using like the same template to make flyers with AI. And I feel like I'm in Bizarro World where I just keep seeing the same post over and over.
Yes.
So I'm tired of that. But there is also this point, and it's usually people of a certain age on Facebook. One person gets to make the comment. One person gets to make the comment. The author responds to the comment of the first person. You can see that happen. And then you don't have to post it 40 more times. You can leave it alone at that point.
Yeah.
The whole thing was so bothersome to me.
I guess, like, I understand exactly what you're saying. I think there are some Facebook posts where it makes sense. Like, if someone says, you know, my dog is sick, we're taking the dog to the vet, praying that we don't have to, like, pay thousands of dollars for hope our dog's okay. I can understand how that would have 40 replies.
People right, be like, right.
Thinking of you, praying yes. for your dog.
That's hope, an individual something yeah. from yeah, one person to another.
You're showing by volume, you're right. showing support.
No doubt.
But when it's like, here's a complaint with this certain thing, and people have clearly addressed it. What is the thing that keeps you going on to Facebook being like, I too will say the exact same sentence that 40 other people said.
Oh God.
But it is, hey, yeah, this is wrong. Don't do that. Like another example, this would be like a restaurant.
Yes.
Where they, hey, this is, you know, we have this special. And then someone's like, the last time I went through the service was awful. And then the next person replies, the service is awful. And then the third person, like, this is the worst service. And it's like, we got it. You don't like the service here. How many more people have to post that?
Or like in a post, somebody will spell something wrong. And then the first person's like, hey, you spelled that wrong. And then the person's like, yep, saw that. I'm going to edit, whatever. And then there's like six other people who are like, uh-huh. You spelled it wrong. Shut up.
Yeah,
stop.
I don't. Yeah, this is why we don't need to read the comments. Although there,
this is where I live in the comments. Unfortunately,
the opposite of that is when you have somebody who has like a funny video or a video that they don't know is funny, and then going to the comments is actually the benefit. Like I saw a woman who had posted on it was either Instagram or TikTok, one of these posts that just randomly shows up in your feed, and she was like packing a lunch for her husband. That it said he works 4 a.m. to 4 p.m. at a warehouse. I think it was an Amazon warehouse. She said, you know, come with me as I pack my lunch for my husband, which is a very nice thing that she does, right? She gets up in the morning, packs this guy's lunch. She proceeded to make like 5 deli sandwiches with like the most mayo I've ever seen. And I mean, they were full-size deli sandwiches. She wrapped them all up. She put in like 4 cupcakes and then like 8 bottles of Gatorade and then like, you know, all this other stuff. It was like the bag itself was like a mini cooler, like you would take on a trip.
Right.
And like I go to the comments, of course, because there's nothing ironic about this video. This woman just posted it. Her replies, the very first comment was, is he coming back? And then the comments just from there were like, who is your husband, Bigfoot? Like, what is this guy's appetite? If this is his 12-hour, that's a long day, but 5 sandwiches and, you know.
So I figured out the commenting thing on Instagram because I don't post nearly as much as I should. And so to keep my page visible and to keep engagement up, I will comment on other like viral posts.
Yes.
That's and I will do like the snarky comment that'll get like 50,000 likes on it. So it's at the top when you click on the video.
Look at you.
I've kind of figured out how to do that thing. So I live in the comment section. And I understand those people, except for when they just want to do the repeating thing.
Yes.
Then I don't relate.
Yes. That I 100% agree on that. We have to do some other business, though, because even though he's not here, we have the intro made. So today, it's a rare occasion where you get to do this. It's Joshua Eats a Thing, and we know we're taking a risk here because, JP, you have some food allergies.
I do.
But are we, Dylan, are we good that this food is not going to...
I put in the group chat.
Kill our
co-host?
If there's
anyone with dietary restrictions in this chat that can't eat this, let it be known.
You could have said my name. You didn't have to make it general like that.
We need to look at the ingredients. So what do we have? Tell people what we have, because you went to Bucky's.
Yes, I went to Bucky's yesterday, and we have lemon pepper beef jerky.
Ooh, I love lemon pepper.
Yes. So we make Tyvus guess the price, so we're going to make you guess it.
Joshua. Soybean allergies?
No, I'm fine.
They sell it by the half a pound. So I ask you, was it $10.99 for a half a pound, $12.99, or $14.99?
All right. This feels pretty, the word I'm looking for, but it's not regular jerky, right? So you got to add in a little bit of a premium there. Jerky's already an expensive snack. It's one I enjoy. I'm going to go with the middle option. You say $12.99?
That is what I said.
I'm going with that one.
You would be incorrect.
No. Oh.
You said it was expensive. I thought you were going there with the logic. $14.99 for half a pound of this jerky.
Dude,
T-Bone's already eating it. He'd even want to wait for you to finish guessing.
Why would I? It's delicious.
You got money. $15.
Yeah, and I got two. I also got Bohemian garlic.
What is bohemian about garlic?
I don't know. This one was a lot better, so I thought I would share this one with you guys.
Oh, this is good.
I've understood bohemian to mean like, see, now it's very thick jerky. I don't know. Is the bohemian like walking around kicking a hacky sack? I don't understand. I don't know what the garlic is doing to make it bohemian.
I see why you paid all this money.
That was a thick cut. Yeah, they do it right at Buc-ee's. This is why I've enjoyed all the Europeans finding out about Buc-ee's. Where they're just walking in and going like, how is it this big? And it's like, phrases I love to hear. But like, I don't know why we can't have more of that in society. Doesn't mean that like Europe is a terrible continent or wherever these other people are coming from, that they're terrible continents. It's that they come to America and they're like, this is a cool thing that America has. Like we do when we go to their places, we go, this is a cool thing they have. I love this. I'm enjoying the fact that European soccer fans with the World Cup are finding out about Buc-ee's and Waffle House and all that stuff.
But it's the fact that it's Waffle House or IHOP.
Yeah, we go there and we're like, look at
the Sistine Chapel.
They've got a mirror to show you the ceiling. And you're like, yay. Here it's like, this is a whole nother experience. We got hotels with mirrors on the ceiling, but that's not the same thing.
By the way, I spent $90 at Buc-ee's yesterday.
Boy!
Dude, no. That's a standard Buc-ee's trip.
Yeah.
I have found when you go to Buc-ee's, it's not for like just this, but you go there and you're like, well, they do have a car air freshener. Oh, they have this, like, and it's got the Buc-ee's face on it. You get a little hat, you get a little t-shirt, suddenly next thing you know, you're paying $100, not for gas.
Oh my God.
Nope, didn't
separate from the gas. That's bad. All right. This will give you gas. That I know. We'll be back. We'll hit the buzzer next with Ryan Baker. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Still watching a crash on 270 eastbound on the north side of town. We've got shoulders blocked off in those eastbound lanes just past 23. Again, that's on the north side of town. And then on the east side out in Reynoldsburg, 70 westbound, the right shoulder blocked off just past Bryce Road. I'm 10 TV's Amy Sagerwald with your fan traffic.
Rockman and Ice.
Ben Stiller just landed, and this is what I told him last night.
Wait, whoa. And I told him last night.
Yeah.
Rockman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Tyvus says that in all his years being in football locker rooms, he never once looked at another man's junk. He cannot say the same thing about working at this radio station. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tyvus Powell will be back on Monday. Joshua Perry is in today. Ryan Baker joins us now as well from Bishop and Friends. Good morning, Bake.
Howdy, gentlemen. How are we this morning?
Doing well. We were just having a robust off-the-air discussion about breakfast food items, mm-hmm. and you brought up that a burrito place near you mm-hmm. has potatoes, like fried, squared, like home fries, essentially.
Yes, almost like home fries, and I hadn't been there in a while, so I walked in there last week, and I see this, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know how that can be bad. I got to try that, so I put it in. With my chicken and my rice and my cheese and my corn and all that in the burrito. Game changer.
Sounds so like a good combo.
Different flavor.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. No, I have Taco Bell has a spicy potato taco, and I don't remember why I got it. Maybe it was just like one day I went there and they're like, we're out of meat, which sometimes happens when you go to fast food places. They're just like, they're out of the thing you came for. And instead of just leaving, I said, well, let me try one of these tacos. But spicy potato taco is literally just, it's like those type of potatoes with some seasoning on it, lettuce, and then they put a sauce on it that's like a spicy mayo type of sauce thing. And it's good.
I have never been to a Taco Bell where they're like, we're out of meat. But my hometown, where I grew up, the Arby's there, it seems like once a month I'll hear somebody complaining about they ran out of roast beef. What are we doing here?
That's your thing.
We have the meats. You have one job, Arby's.
There's the other side of this is who is running them out of the meat?
Oh, I don't know.
There's somebody who's eating all of that.
Well, either that or they're bad at their job.
I don't know, man. Somebody had to be ordering a lot of roast beef.
It happens all of the time. It's like, well, I mean, what am I supposed to do here now?
You just get the curly fries.
I mean, give me a mozzarella stick and a fry.
Absolutely.
No, I need
Jamocha shake.
This is where
Jamocha
fast food places do the worst thing when they start going, let's branch out and expand and have like, we have the Wagyu beef burger. Remember,
ooh,
they,
that's
they, like,
gas they, at Arby's though.
They okay. got the steak bites.
It could be
those
see,
not so much. It could,
the kangaroo bites.
They can be the best things ever. I'm just saying, like, Arby's has roast beef. Like, that's the number yes. one thing that they're known for. Don't ever mess that up. You can not have the hamburgers or not have the steak tips or not have the chicken tenders or whatever else you do.
Those
but
tenders
like,
are good.
Like, yeah. I understand.
Yeah, they're fine. It's number one thing, though, is eyes on the prize.
I understand that food can go bad. So you don't want to have a ridiculous amount of surplus there.
Sure.
It's not like toilet paper where you can buy 50 rolls, throw a thing in each bathroom and have yeah. it for a while. I get that. But you do roast beef. Like, uh-huh. of all the things we can't run out of, it's that.
Can't do that. No. I mean, if you go to McDonald's and say, sorry, we can't make burgers can't get, right now.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, we don't have any Big Macs, sir. You're going to have to get something else.
We don't have any Big Macs, sir.
Yeah, we ran out of the sauce, or we ran out of the meat patties or
you
whatever.
You know what? It sucks. We don't got any Whoppers today.
Have it your way.
Have
except
it your
that way.
Way. But you can't no. get a Whopper. Like, what?
No, I just, huh? I, that's, yeah. Like, at Taco Bell, it's happened to me at least probably two or three times where I'll go, because I use the app. And I use it a lot, but I'll hit that app and it'll just say like no tacos will be available on the app. And then I'll figure it out like, oh, because they ran out of something
yeah.
that they can't make. I don't know if they ran out of either? Shells.
We had
or
no
whatever.
Tacos. You're Taco Bell.
Yes, right. I agree. Right. It's yeah. I am frustrated by that. This is the problems that you have as someone who enjoys fast food. This is what I run into. So what do you guys have coming up on the show today, Bake?
Well, Stanley Cup. NBA Finals both ended, ending long droughts for two teams. We will talk a little bit about that, and it got us thinking about Ohio teams and who's next. Like who?
There you go.
Who is going to be next there? We'll also have Austin Ward, and then we'll have Scoony Penn on to talk about the NBA Finals. That just
very
happened.
Cool stuff. Yeah, that's a.
We'll even talk some World Cup for you. Bob.
Look at that! About Team USA getting the job done on Friday.
I have no clue.
They won 4-1, yes. Bay.
I have no clue.
Thumbs up.
I haven't watched a second, and I won't watch
a
second.
There you
go.
4-1.
It's my kind of guy.
It's not for me, Bone. I'm sorry.
Listen, I'm telling you, hockey's never been for me, but I gotta learn. When it comes time for the Olympics, I got to tune in to see what's going on.
I have you for my World Cup news.
That's fine. I'll help you out. I got you covered. Bishop and Friends coming up 9 to noon right here on the
shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right. Maybe you had a good weekend. Maybe you had a bad weekend. This one seems like a bad weekend. Don't do this. This was in Pasco County, Florida. The article says it was a Florida man. However, to be fair, it may have been a Texas man because it says 33-year-old Connor Parody of San Antonio, which maybe there's a San Antonio, Florida. I'm not aware of, but either he's from Texas or Florida. I don't know. But apparently he was pulled over in Florida, found driving, and officers detected a smell of alcohol on his breath. And they pulled him over, allegedly. According to the Florida Highway Patrol, he was doing more than 90 miles per hour on I-75, swerving through traffic. When they pulled him over, they noticed the smell of alcohol, and then they noticed in the passenger seat of his Honda Civic were 24 open and empty cans of White Claw. They do say there's no laws when you're drinking claws, but I do think the laws do apply. Common sense applies. His BAC was allegedly 0.177, which is more than twice the legal limit. I'm surprised it's just twice.
It's a lot of liquid.
It's a lot of liquid.
I'm far more concerned that you're a grown man drinking White Claw.
Well, there's that too.
All are you above. Just anti-seltzer to
all
begin
the above.
With? Or
all the above.
Just White Claws. Like, you drink a High Noon?
I'm a man. I'm 40. That's a man on your chest. Drink a bourbon, for Christ's sake.
And stay off the road if you're going to do any of that.
Seriously.
34 open cans of White Claw in his vehicle. Yikes. He's 33 years old, so maybe he was doing one forever. I don't know. Bad idea.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible.
Doing all right. For every year.
That's bad. All right. Don't do that. Stay off the roads. Have a great rest of your Monday. Be safe. Bishop and Friends coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Still watching a crash on the east side, 70 westbound, just past Bryce Road. We've got the right shoulder blocked off as crews clear out a crash in those westbound lanes. And then north side of town, we are still watching a crash on 270 eastbound. Shoulders are blocked off in those eastbound lanes, just past 23. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steigerwald with your